Hello, this is the president. Hello, this is the president of the United States. Who is this? Is it you again?
Look behind you.
This is my private line. How did you get through?
They're everywhere. All the time. We see them every day. But you have to look behind you.
There is nothing behind me. How did you get this number?
The spaceman told me.
What spaceman?
It doesn't matter. They're telling you about monsters. Please, you must look behind you.
Young lady, there are no monsters in the Oval Office.
This is the last day of the week before we get really into the Halloween season. And next week, of course, Halloween is the 31st. And usually on Ground Zero, we do a lot of Halloween shows up to Halloween because we just want to get out of our system. It's been a year that has been, bogged down in politics. And that's the sad part of it. It's because, you want to talk about some things that are paranormal, and you get stuck. You get stuck because you got other stuff going on in the world, and of course, the media tries to take over, and they try to hang on to the narrative, and they try to shake the narrative through, and I don't know if I can even watch it anymore. It's so, it's just so horrendous. It's so sad. I think that, for a while, it'd be best if we just kind of avoided it. But sometimes you can't avoid it. And not only do we have the silliness going on with politics, and I know people get all ticked off when I say silliness, but it is, it's silly, it's theater, it's nonsense. And, we're all being worked up about mad bombers whose bombs don't work. I am just completely at a loss for what to say about any of this stuff. And because, if you say that it looks kind of silly, people say, how dare you? Well, I mean, it's not like anyone was hospitalized or anyone was hurt. And, of course, when the ricin was sent, there were two people who were hospitalized because they were sick. We didn't have any deaths, but, I mean, there seems to be a lot of these test runs. See, that's what these are. They're test runs. And you can see that they're test runs to prepare us for something bigger. And, the truth is, I guess it's not going to mean anything to anyone until we have a few people that die. I mean, death is the great equalizer, isn't it, right? And that's what Halloween's all about. Thinking about the dead, praising the martyrs and praising the saints and remembering the dead. That's why you have Dia de los Muertos, or All Saints Day, on November 1st. We focus on the darker side on the 31st. And then, of course, November is set aside for the sacred. November 1st is set aside for the sacred. And a lot of people forget that. And even though we see a lot of skulls and a lot of, that kind of ornate type of decorations for, All Saints Day or Day of the Dead or Dia de los Muertos, People in many cultures have long believed that communication with the dead is possible. And throughout time, many people have claimed to speak to those who have shaken this mortal coil. I've experienced EVP. I've been in, you know, ghost hunts. I've been on ghost hunts. I've experienced EVP. I have felt what to me seemed like an attack by an entity. I was on the air when it happened, and it was terrifying. And I always tell a story that when I was there and it was all going down, I felt a little sick to my stomach because it was like, I don't know, something was, something surrounding me and I could not break away from it. And I started crying while I was on the air when it happened. And I always tell people the reason why I was crying was not because of the fact I was scared. I mean, I knew that something was going on and it was like, it was uncomfortable. The thought of not being able to say goodbye to your wife. Because I was in California, and I was on the air. And just the thought of not being able to see my wife. And if it was going to be the end of me, I just thought it would be so devastating that you don't get a chance to say goodbye. I mean, both my mother and my father... My mother, in her own little way, had her chance to say goodbye to me before she passed away. My father said goodbye to me 20 minutes before he passed away. On the phone, he was in good spirits. He was told that he'd have to have his tube removed. And if the tube was going to be removed, he'd die. And he didn't want to be resuscitated. And so he passed away. And, you know, a lot of people have had those moments where after a loved one has passed away, they have a contact somehow in a dream, or they see him in a crowd, or some even have claimed to, you know, have gotten a phone call. And a lot of people, of course, you know, they say, hey, you know, this happens. But I never got, maybe it's because I got the goodbyes from my parents before they passed. And some people aren't that lucky. They don't have the goodbyes. And so sometimes I'm sure, and they say 60% of the time this happens, is that most people, you know, come in contact with a dead loved one within days after they pass away. They come to them in a dream, or they appear to them in a room, or you see them in a crowd, or, you know, something indicates that they are with you, that their presence is there. And, you know, a lot of people say, well, there are no such things as ghosts. Well, I would beg to differ. There's something about the other side. There's something about the spirit realm that's fascinating. I mean, ghosts or spirit and demonic communication, they show up often in classic literature, including mythology. They're in the Bible. I remember Shakespeare would utilize ghosts a lot in his plays. And you all the way back to go all the way back to Victorian England, and it was fashionable then in many circles to conduct seances. And they had Ouija boards back then. I mean, you go all the way back then, they had something similar to a Ouija board. Three-legged tables, candles, table tapping, all those things. They were used to try and contact the dead. Edison, actually, Thomas Edison created he was trying to create a mechanism he could use where he could contact the dead. And what happened was, is instead of contacting the dead, he created something that can record the dead. And what I mean by that is that we can listen to a Jim Morrison album. We know he's dead, but we can still hear his voice. Patsy Cline's like a ghost. You listen to her on a record and she's singing crazy. It's like you're listening to a ghost. I mean, Prince and Michael Jackson, they're both gone, but yet we're hearing them on records. They're like ghosts. Ghosts on phonograph, ghosts recorded for posterity, something that Edison had done. Rather than communicating with dead, we are able to keep the dead in a bottle. We can play them or listen to them or talk to them in that way. And then, of course, there are those who say that they have preserved a lot of what the dead think and a lot of what the dead possess by writing pages and pages of what can be called automatic writing. I mean, the psychic's hands allegedly guide the ghost to convey these lengthy handwritten messages. And since that time, since the time of all the, you know, the communications, you know, ghosts seem to have lost their will or ability to write or even communicate effectively now. So we have to use electronic voice phenomena. We have to use electronic voices. And so the spirits can be channeled through mediums, or they can be channeled through electronic means that can come through your computer or your phone. And everybody's had this experience because we've done the shows about this before. But see, a lot of the time when you're dealing with the spirit world, you get this vague and nebulous information. It always leads to an interpretive moment where the so-called experiencer, the medium or whatever, is given a word or a sign such as knocking or tapping that indicate that something from the ethereal realm wishes to make some sort of contact. Now, horror films, they began to reflect the public's belief and concern that contacting of the dead could not only be the gateway to a more sinful and satanic necromancy, but it invites possession by evil spirits. If you remember The Exorcist, I was actually watching the internet today, looking at some of the scary moments in people's lives, and they always talk about The Exorcist. I mean, talk about Regan McNeil, the little girl. She was first contacted through a seemingly innocent encounter with a Ouija board. And the entity she thought she was communicating with, and whom her mother chalked up to as an imaginary friend, called himself Captain Howdy. But later we reveal that he's the demon Soso, or the demon Pazuzu. And what's interesting is that this demon, Pazuzu, Soso, Captain Howdy, a lot of people after The Exorcist came out and said that they were experiencing the contact with Soso, Pazuzu, on the board. Okay. So, you know, I think The Exorcist had probably influenced a lot of people into thinking that Ouija boards are evil. And I don't think a board itself is evil. I mean, you know, there's no monastery with demons and witches making Ouija boards everywhere, glowing in the dark Ouija boards, and then putting them in boxes and telling kids to go out and scare themselves to death. But I have a viewpoint on the Ouija board tonight that's going to, you know, hopefully enlighten you to what it might be and what it isn't. And I don't think I've really done an extensive explanation of why Ouija boards make great tools if you know how to use them, and why they may or may not be tools where you can tap into the underworld or tap into the afterlife. It may be something totally different. We'll talk about that coming up on Ground Zero. 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. We'll be back with more Ground Zero. No, go away.
FM News 101 KXL.
This is Ground Zero on FM News 101.
You are listening to Ground Zero. Everything today seems to be either or. In other words, there's no middle ground, right? Everything is about being straight and narrow, black and white, wrong or right. There's no room for shades of gray. I remember when answers seemed clear enough, and when they didn't, we were able to pray in secret without judgment or seek divine intervention in ways that were unconventional without judgment. And I remember when I was a kid, my parents used to tell us not to play the Seek game in the newspapers. You ever play that Seek game? Well, back when I was a kid, there was this decoding Zodiac Seek column. S-E-E-K, Seek. And every day, there was a set of numbers that I had to decode. The numbers made a sentence, and the sentence was supposed to give me guidance. And the symbols on the Zodiac column were the moon and the sun. And you had to seek the numbers to match with words reminded. It's kind of, you know, the idea that you had to use numbers, and you had to use letters, and you had to figure out your message. It was like using a Ouija board. I mean, we were told not to play with this. And I don't even know if anybody remembers it. I mean, I don't know why we had it in the newspapers that I had in my home state of Utah, because, I mean, Mormons are very, very particular when it comes to using astrology. But it was in the newspaper. It's called Seek. And it was really intriguing to decode the numbers and words to get your future. But now I think that it's difficult to push anything about the spiritual side, because there's so much dogma now involved. There's so much, well, we're right, you're wrong thing. And a lot of religious dogmas are fighting it out for dominance in what appears to be this apocalyptic end that we're in right now. It's taking too long to reach its fever pitch. Now, Halloween, of course, it's become a potpourri holiday where the meaning is lost from the spiritual perspective. And for adults, it's just another excuse to get drunk, go to parties. While some men ogle at the women that decide that Halloween costumes consist of garters, short skirts, and cleavage. Got the naughty nurse, the Playboy bunny, the naughty French maid, all that. They don't go away. Every year, it's the same thing. And less clothes, you know, means best costume. It's why, I mean, I'm no prude, but Halloween was always a time for things to be bizarre, chilling, and not titillating and crude, but something scary. And much of what is accepted today would be seen as bizarre years ago, but I think things have happened in yesteryear and beyond time, and now here we are. I mean, spiritualism, or contacting the dead, was considered healthy and normal back in the 19th century, and today it's being argued that it's akin to demon worship. But this, you know, this point is usually argued by the same people who think that, you know, trick-or-treating is akin to demon worship, and everything else is akin to demon worship, and you can't be spiritual for a day, or set aside some time to think about the dead, or maybe even talk to the dead, and looking for responses on all sides of the argument, which is something that I think a lot of people should do. And I would say this, I would say that 1973 was the year that the Ouija board became vilified. It was demonized because of The Exorcist and the idea of the contact the little girl had with Captain Howdy, which is this spirit, Pazuzu, or Abizu, or, you know, there are a number of Mesopotamian demons that they use to scare you, and that's just a couple of them. But see, the spiritualism nature, the idea of contacting the dead, using, you know, anything from table tapping to crystal balls to pendulums. I mean, all those things, you know, they're basically the same. You're using the same type of tactic. You're using ideomotor responses where you hold on to something. You hold, like, for example, holding a pendulum, and you have these ideomotor responses to it. What it is that your hand is steady. But for some reason, there seems to be this muscular subtlety where something telepathic goes through you into the hand, or into, like, when the hands are on the planchette and the Ouija board, and this is how it all happens. It's weird like that. And I think that, you know, the more you learn about the Ouija board, I mean, Ouija boards really are not needed when it comes to summoning the dead, because there are other ways in which human beings can find spirits, or at least gather together to conjure and communicate with the spirit world. See, a seance is the most effective way, according to spiritualist mediums, that's the most effective way of communicating with the dead. And in this matter, messages from the departed could be passed onto the living, and then the spirits could announce their presence by manifesting displays of the supernatural. I mean, during the heyday of spiritualism, scientists and psychical researchers investigated hundreds of seances, and unfortunately, well, the majority of the physical mediums were caught hoaxing phenomena at some point. They were just extending or exaggerating, and very few of them came away unscathed by the early investigators of the spiritualist movement. A lot of them were proved to be hoaxes and frauds. But of course, the more people got together, the more we were seeing these strange happenings going on. So when you had the hoaxers doing the hoaxing, you had the people that were really interested and really wanted to make these things happen through the 1960s, the 1970s. And then it wasn't until after the movie The Exorcist came out that the spiritual movement was put under the microscope by the born-again Christian movement. But people were still rebelling in the 60s and 70s. Young people started to defy church leaders by participating in what could be called party rituals, where they were doing a lot of frightening rituals carried out by young people during sleepovers and parties. And the Ouija board was one of those things. But they always show up. You know, parents would directly say, do not play with this. Don't touch a witch board. Don't touch a Ouija board. But then, you know, came the improvisation. Then came the ritualistic and often effective ways of talking to the dead. And it turned out that it scared a lot of people when they called upon the spirits to come speak to them. I mean, if the use of the board was forbidden for divination, young people would just often take one. And they do all sorts of other things, too. They'd have a Ouija board, they get a candle, they get a mirror, they'd sit in a small room, they'd say Bloody Mary, Bloody Mary, Bloody Mary in front of the mirror. It was just a bunch of things we did when we were kids, and we didn't know what the hell we were doing. 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. I'm Clyde Lewis. You're listening to Ground Zero, and we'll be back.
More with Clyde Lewis and Ground Zero on FM News 101.
Silly things, you know. If not playing with Ouija boards, we were doing a little something called an optromancy. Not necromancy, but an optromancy. It's what's called, it's where you put yourself in a small area. Like you go into the back of your bedroom, or you go, in the bathroom, and you turn off the light. And then you light a few candles, just enough light to cast shadows everywhere. And then you'd stare into the mirror, and you'd say something like, Bloody Mary, Bloody Mary, Bloody Mary. And see, what that is you get into this, what's called a psychomantium. A small enclosed area. You set up with a comfortable chair. You dim the light. You get the mirror angled so as not to reflect anything but the darkness intended to communicate with spirits of the dead. And you just go, Bloody Mary, Bloody Mary, Bloody Mary. Now, during the Bloody Mary thing, you know, when you're sitting there in front of the mirror, Bloody Mary allegedly appears to individuals or groups who ritualistically invoke her name, usually by repeatedly chanting her name in a mirror placed in a room that is usually lit by a candle. The Bloody Mary apparition allegedly appears as a corpse, a witch, a ghost, a hag. I mean, it can be friendly or it can be evil. And is sometimes seen covered in blood. Now, the mystery, the myth, I guess the legend surrounding the ritual, if she's summoned properly, basically, participants may endure the apparition screaming at them, cursing at them. Some feel like they're being strangled by it, feeling like your soul's being stolen. Just a number of crazy things. The old tales say that some people even scratched their eyes out when they saw Bloody Mary in the mirror. Another party or sleepover ritual is more or less a spell that is repeated by participants in order to summon ghosts or levitate a person. The levitation. Anybody remember, was it lying on the, stiff as a board? Remember that? Light as a feather, stiff as a board. Person lies on the floor. And then the others place themselves around him or her. They each place one or two fingertips underneath the body. Usually they ask us to put our pinkies under the body, if I remember that correctly. Then the person closest to the head of the person laying there says, "She's looking ill." And then somebody says, "She's looking worse. She's looking ill. She's looking worse." And then you do the call and the repeat. The call and the repeat. These are all, rituals. So the call is, "She's looking ill." The repeat is, "She's looking worse. She's looking ill. She's looking worse." Spoken, repeated. And general direction of the call, the repeat describes how the prone person, the person who's flat out, is looking worse and worse, followed by saying, "She is dying." Then the callback is, "She is dead. She is dying. She is dead. She is dying. She is dead." So, and then what happens is you say, "Now she's light as a feather. She's stiff as a board. She's light as a feather. She's stiff as a board." And as you keep chanting that back and forth, the call and the repeat, light as a feather, stiff as a board. The entire group is chanting this, except for the person laying there prone. And what happens is with the call and the repeat, the person laying there actually becomes frigid. And then what you do is all of the people surrounding the bodies doing the call and the repeat, they attempt to lift the person with their fingers. We did it with our pinky fingers. We lifted with our pinky fingers. And it's odd because you can lift the body together. Okay. I don't know if anybody's done this. I mean, if anybody has done this, give me a call. 888-673-3700. Because these are things I did when I was a kid. You know, we experimented with this stuff. And I think a lot of kids had this experience, especially ones, our age, right? Because when we were kids, we were actually hearing about all this stuff because, like, our brothers and sisters, our older brothers and sisters, I was the oldest, so I knew everything about it. I had older friends that were doing this stuff. Light as a feather, stiff as a board, and you can lift the body of the person using your fingertips. We did this, and it just freaked us out. It just freaked us out because it was weird, because I remember the girl we did it with, her name was Twyla, and we were at my house and we did it, and she actually turned pale. She was turning pale, and we could lift her. She was smaller than we were, of course. You got to figure, we're lifting someone who's at least, 100 pounds, maybe 95 pounds, lifting her up when we were teenagers, when we were young kids, lifting her up with our pinky fingers, saying, "Light as a feather, stiff as a board, she's dead, she's dying," just basically, chanting this. And so, you learn a lot about what the mind can do, when you do these calls and repeats and you do these, they're kind of like incantations. I mean, they're incantations. They're simple. They're not, they don't cause any harm, but they really, really, they're really freaky if you do that. Now, a few years ago, I was on the air talking about a demon conjuring game that kids were playing with a pencil called Charlie Charlie. And, in fact, I had a number of teachers call me and give me, they send me emails telling me that they were so glad I talked about the topic, because he was seeing kids in school. One teacher in particular said he was seeing kids in school, and the kids would line the pencils up and do Charlie Charlie, and they said that Charlie was a demon. So the idea was to take two pencils on a piece of paper in the shape of a cross, and then you put yes and no on the paper. And then, once again, the call and repeat. Charlie, Charlie, can we play? 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 Then if Charlie's there, the pencils will move to indicate an answer. Yes or no. But of course, a lot of people say, there's no real demon here. There's no real demon answering the questions. And so there are a lot of people who say it's basically a ritualized version of playing the magic eight ball. Yes, no, yes, no. However, there have been stories of people who have summoned Charlie only to forget not to say goodbye. And apparently Charlie seems to follow them. At least that's, you know, what I hear. I mean, it's proper to say goodbye to spirits when you try to contact them. If you don't want them to come at you, you have to tell them, I don't want you to come at me. I don't want you to be around me. You have to say goodbye. When ghost hunters go into cemeteries looking for EVP, if they don't say goodbye to the spirits, those spirits could follow them home. You have to say goodbye. When you close a Ouija board, there's a reason why the words goodbye are on a Ouija board. You have to close the Ouija board by saying goodbye. It's vital that you say goodbye. You don't say goodbye to Charlie. Charlie follows you, whoever Charlie may be. See, all these methods of communicating with discarnate spirits can be explained with less complexity when we decide to acknowledge the mind's capacity to manifest or conjure powers that have been deemed supernatural. We have that power. You realize that. You don't need a devil or a demon to give you that power because it's there already. I mean, it may be confusing, but we have to understand that there's so much about us that we do not know. The dreamscape may be vital information about our being, how time seems to be simultaneous, and how we all feel and store images and sounds deep inside of us. We may even have stored inside of us past lives and possible pasts and futures that can be extracted. We already know that trauma is handed down from generation to generation. It's in everybody's cells. So obviously, you know, generations before you, you have taken with them in your DNA and in your cells all of the trauma and all of the spirits and all of the things that have happened in the past. It's all inside of you. And if you dig deep enough into your core, in the unconscious, the collective unconscious or the unconscious mind, the human brain is one of the most powerful receivers of all messages, whether they are electronic or they form some other source, you know, the good or evil. I mean, you're looking at good or evil in the messages. They exist in a realm of multiverses that are as infinite as the stars in the sky. And sometimes you can be a conduit and receiver of inspiration, and the voice of inspiration comes to you without even breaking a sweat. All over the world, there are cultures that have shaman and medicine men and seers and occultists, fortune tellers, gurus, holy men, visionaries. There are contexts out there that produce and put into the zeitgeist ideas and scenarios that lead to predictive programming in the public. They're all capable of seeing numbers that appear in strange orders. Some of you can see that. Some of you have told me about it. They can see combinations. They can make cognitive connections. This is called, for lack of a better euphemism, the pattern. You see the pattern? You report the pattern. So from observances of the patterns, we begin to acknowledge what is called automatic writing or channeling. And everybody, from what I gather, has the ability to channel. That's why the Ouija board works. That's why pendulums work. That's why crystal balls work. They work because of something deep inside of all of us that give a idiomotor response to the outcome. You don't know what you're capable of. You don't know what the muscles will produce subtly if you're being whispered to from somewhere deep in the unconscious or subconscious mind. Because most of these messages are coming from dream time, dreamscape. They're inside of you. Now, you can name them. You can interpret them however you want. You say, well, I'm channeling the body. I'm challenging the spirit of a 13-year-old girl. Or I'm channeling the spirit of Cleopatra. Or, you know, you can interpret it however you want. Doesn't necessarily make it so. But it doesn't make it fake or hoax either. It doesn't make it a hoax. It doesn't make it fake either. Because the mind is a very powerful thing. What you take or what you put into the Ouija board and what you take out of the Ouija board comes from what is inside everyone who's participating in that ritual. You have control. So if something creeps in like, oh, I don't know, maybe Pazuzu or Zozo or Satan or some other demon, it's because for some moment, for that moment, you lost control. For that moment, something got in that shouldn't have got in, and most people are not strong enough to keep them out. And that's why a Ouija board or any other oracle that you use for divination can be like a loaded gun. If it goes off accidentally and hurts you, it's because you're not doing it right. You're not using safety, because there's plenty of things you have to learn about keeping yourself safe spiritually. Ouija boards are not for everybody. And I'm not trying to condone the use of them. But I want to demystify them to a certain degree so people don't go around saying off the bat, well, they're just evil. Yeah, well, maybe you need to find out what is truly evil and where that evil comes from. And you'd be very surprised that evil comes from you. 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. I'm Clyde Lewis. You're listening to Ground Zero, and we'll be back.
FM News 101 KXL.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
More with Clyde Lewis and Ground Zero on FM News 101.
Let's go to Danelle in Washington. Hi, Danelle, you're on Ground Zero.
Hi.
Hi.
Well, you said call in if anybody's ever done the stiff as a board, light as a feather thing.
Yes, the you do the call and then you do the repeat and over and over again. It's a ritual. So you did it with some friends? What did you do?
Right. Well, I never did the call on the repeat as far as, you know, sick and looking worse. We just chanted the stiff as a board, light as a feather.
Okay.
And everybody was around in a circle and had one finger under them. And we did that over and over again. And my friend, when I was a kid, she started to come up off the ground, but then we all laughed and kind of freaked out, and that was the end of that. Well, a few years ago at a Halloween party for kids, junior high, maybe freshman, we were, I was doing this, I said, come on, let's do this, and we got on the ground and did this, and the kids were all into it, and this girl was laying on her back, and we all stuck one finger underneath her, and I just kept saying stiff as a board, light as a feather, because we didn't do the other part, and she came up, I'd say a good foot and a half, 2 feet off the ground. And just about the time, and I could see the look on the kids' face looking, you know, really shocked. And about that time, then my husband came in the sliding glass door with a hockey mask and a chainsaw.
That sounds
fun. There was not a kid left in the room. They all took off.
That sounds great. Sounds great. Yeah, I mean, so it was successful for you when you did. It was successful for us. We were very scared. We did it with, like I said, this girl named Twyla.
Uh-huh.
And then there was another girl, the girl named Nancy. And see, what we did is we were scared at first, so we only used the lighter members of the group. That's what we did. We went and got the lighter girls, and we lifted them with our pinky fingers. But then came time to lift people like me, okay, because I'm a bigger guy. I was always a big guy when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And they lifted me, and it scared me, because I felt like I was truly lifting off the ground. And I don't know if that, what you experienced was levitation, but there was levitation. And
yeah, Yeah. Figured, you know, it's amazing what the body, when you can put your mind to it. And, I mean, people have been known to lift cars off of their loved ones.
Yeah.
You know, and
Well, you know what that is? That's psi power. See, that's the thing. Is people always, you always hear that story about, you know, you've heard the woman was driving along. She was in she hit a snowbank and the car hit her kid and the car was on top of the kid. And so the woman got out of the car. She lifted the car off of the kid, and the kid got away. How did the woman lift that if it wasn't for adrenaline? It wasn't adrenaline, because here's the deal. If adrenaline was all that mattered in lifting that car off of that kid, which probably happened, it's an urban legend, but it probably did happen. It's been carried on from generation to generation.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't just adrenaline. It was the idea of psi power. It was mind over matter, because if it was reality and she just lifted it with adrenaline, her arms would have broke.
Exactly. There's
so,
more to it.
Yeah, what kept the arms from breaking? That's the question.
Yeah, well, your will, I think, is defined. Yeah.
Well, it's the same thing that, you know, these martial artists, you know, when they break bricks or they break boards with their heads or their hands, they do it with psionic power. Their body becomes a tool, and they gather all this power around them in order to have that force and might to break those boards. And that's why they don't break their arms or break their hands when they do it.
Oh, yeah. That's, my husband asks me all the time, how did you move that by yourself?
Yeah.
If that's stubborn.
The mind is very powerful, that's for sure. Hey, Danielle, thank you for calling.
You're welcome.
All right, take care. Bye-bye. You too. 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. I'm Clyde Lewis. You're listening to Ground Zero, and we'll be back.
FM News 101 KXL.
Spinning complacently in the darkness, covered and blinded by a blanket of little lives, false security has lulled the madness of this world into a slumber. Wake up. An eye is upon you, staring straight down and keenly through, seeing all that you are and everything that you can never be. Yes, an eye is upon you, an eye ready to blink. So face forward, with arms wide open and mind reeling. Your future has arrived. Are you ready to go?
The loudspeaker spoke up and said,
"Wayne, save me."
The loudspeaker spoke up and said,
"Wayne, save me."
The loudspeaker spoke up and said,
I'm Clyde Lewis, and this is Ground Zero. The numbers to call tonight, 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. You know, I came to a realization, I think it was last week, when I was talking with Ron Patton, my producer, and Ron knows that, I guess it's been, oh gosh, how many years? It's been a couple years, maybe 4 or 5 years. Halloween has rolled around, and every year Halloween rolls around, we have an opportunity to, and this is going to sound weird, but it's true, we have an opportunity to somehow have contact with someone who is associated with a serial killer. I know that sounds weird. We went to Olympia. I guess it was 2 years ago. We were at Evergreen College. And I was with Roger Clutton of Northwest Coast Recon, and he was saying something about how, as we were going up to Evergreen, he said, "Wow, this is like a place where Ted Bundy would hang out." And it was odd because we didn't know that Ted Bundy went to Evergreen State College. We didn't know that. And we had a guide tell us that Evergreen State College was where Ted Bundy killed one of his victims. And so we did a ghost hunt there trying to contact Ted Bundy. And we got a few EVPs of Ted Bundy, which was really bizarre. Somewhere there's a video out there. Vincent Zunza, who is a great producer and writer, was there covering it. He's with Pacific North Weird. And he's gotten awards for a lot of his work. Pacific North Weird. Vince is one of these guys that I love. He's a great guy. And he does great work. And he was there documenting our hunting for Ted Bundy, which was weird. And then if it wasn't Ted Bundy, I get a phone call from the lawyers of John Wayne Gacy. And they call me and say, "Hey, Clyde, do you want to hold some sort of a seance or gathering? We have the suits that Gacy wore before he was when he was to trial. And so we're going to mail you those suits." But it was another guy that I worked with who had a band called the Wayne Gacy Trio, which is a clown band, a bunch of clowns, killer clowns singing songs. It was kind of a terrifying idea. And so we did. We went and we set up in this basement bar. We actually set up a seance and the power went out. We blew the power out. Weird. But before we did that, we had TV static came through and we saw Pogo the Clown in the static. It was really creepy. And, we also got a little bit of EVP, but you know, people wanted to try on John Wayne Gacy's suits. It was just bizarre. I would never even get close to those suits. We had them, there. But somebody was trying on Gacy suits, and we were going, wow, this is too weird. And then, of course, we get the opportunity to go to the Gazette in Martinez, California, near the area where the Zodiac killer had done his work. And we were doing an investigation there, and something attacked me there while I was on the air. And it was the ghost of Richard Gajkowski, apparently. Gajkowski was one of the suspects in the Zodiac killer case. Well, this is going to sound weird, but I was kind of excited. I get a letter from a guy calling himself EM, sending me a letter that says, Clyde, my great uncle Bob was for years the incarnate of evil on earth, I'm told. Despite his plain, almost harmless appearance, he was a bad man, and I remember his eyes and his smile. His eyes were narrowly spaced, smallish, and pixie bright, like the eyes of a toy. His smile was crooked and fixed and the teeth slightly bucked. To me, he was frightening, and on the few occasions he visited us, he was never allowed to be alone with me. Bob contended to certain family members that he was a serial killer who traveled the country in his station wagon, satisfying his bloodlust in random Lover's Lane murders. He claimed he did this for almost 30 years, thwarting justice by checking himself into various mental institutions. For a time, he was allegedly a suspect in a series of murders in Texarkana, Texas, and later in the Pacific Northwest and suburban Philadelphia. Then, according to family history, he sustained a near-fatal brain injury in a head-on traffic collision and thereafter found redemption. A former graphic designer, my Uncle Bob, built a spirit board in his garage as a portal, he said, to speak to his many victims and ask for their forgiveness. Many of these victims, having been summoned from the darkness to the living world, haunted Bob for the rest of his life, plunging him into madness. According to my grandfather, Bob had moved about the country in an effort to escape the ghosts of his victims. And on the night of December 1st, 1977, walked into the ocean near the Boardwalk Promenade in Ocean City, New Jersey. His body was never recovered. So tonight I have with me what they call Bob's board. And Bob's board is a spirit board, not like a, you know, not unlike a Ouija board, but it's different. It's a different board. And tonight I wanted to bring EM on the show and talk with him a bit about this board. So let's bring him on. EM, hi, you're on Ground Zero.
Hi, Clark. Thank you for having me on the show.
So, first of all, I want to thank you for the board. I got one sent to me. And it's really odd how all these things seem to come to us around Halloween, these serial killers. You know, we had one time we had somebody show up with Ed Gein shingles off his shed. And now we've got a board. Tell me a little bit about your great-uncle. It's your great-uncle, correct?
Right.
Tell me a little bit about your great-uncle, what you remember about him.
He just had a bad energy. And he would come over, you know, we were close with my grandfather, who was his brother. And we moved around a fair amount because my dad worked for the military. He was in, like, the food service end of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so he would come over and a few, you know, maybe six, seven times. But the more I think about it, there was more times. Mm-hmm. But he had a very scary quality. And then I guess the thing that really always bragging and telling us, he's, you know, my uncle and my father, and stories that he would, you know, always trying to make himself out. He said he worked for like J. Edgar Hoover and all these kinds of things. But the thing that he always came around to was that he just took care of business, he would say. He would say he'd take care of business. A lot of times he would travel around, and he always had women issues. And he told my grandfather, who was really his only friend, you know, his brother, that he would kill people when he got really overwrought. And And he would do it, and he always drove around, and we'd go to places where they would park, you know, where the kids would park and stuff, all over the country. And he said that he didn't ever get, he was never a suspect officially, but he thought they were after him a couple times. And I guess like Portland, Oregon, and San Francisco. And he was, you know, like a couple times he was there, and then, like, for example, my dog, I had a dog who was my best friend, and he was very protective. And he growled at him, and then the dog disappeared. You know, we never found him. And my dad said, yeah, he probably took the dog or something. And then we had a cat another time, and we found the cat, and Bob was walking with us, and the cat was, like, cut in half. And he said, raccoons got it, you know. And then when he went inside, my dad said to me, he says, no raccoons got that because raccoons don't carry knives. And every time he was around, something like that happened. And then the last time we saw him was after Martin Luther King was killed, and they were burning. We were living in New Jersey. And they were burning down a lot of the buildings in Trenton, New Jersey, like rioting. And my grandfather was there, too, and he got in a fight with an argument with Bob, and so did my dad, because Bob was saying they should just shoot all the people, you know, the black people who were rioting. And so they got furious about the fires, and they said, you know, they're just whatever. So he left. And then, like, 3 days later, the garage, we had a separate garage, and it burned down with our car in it. And we only had one car at that time. And so my dad was furious because he thought, you know, he did it. You know, Bob did it.
Bob did it, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so Bob never faced jail time.
No. He was very personable in a way, you know. But you knew, because his eyes were scary to me. So that was the main thing I remember about it.
So they were scary eyes, and we're going to talk more with you, E.M., about Bob, and find out more about his background, and find out more about E.M.'s background, too. We have with us tonight Bob's board. It is a spirit board. We'll talk about how Bob came to make this board, and why this is being this is available to people. It's available to people if you'd like to purchase the board. We'll give you details on that as well. It's for those of you that are collectors of serial killer material or even spirit boards, this would be a great collector's item for you if you want to buy one. It's available. 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. Back with more Ground Zero. Don't go away.
FM News 101 KXL.
Back to Ground Zero with Clyde Lewis on FM News 101.
Tonight, my guest is E.M. The great nephew of Bob. We just know him as Bob because E.M. hasn't shared much with us other than he's lived in various places in America. He's single. He has no living relatives. He's never married. He attended community college near Doylestown, Pennsylvania. Briefly, E.M. wrote freelance feature stories in the 80s and 90s. He says he's yet to see a clipping, and he's struggled with depression and mental illness. He's 64 years old. He lives in New Jersey. We do know his last name. He hasn't given it on the air, but the company that provides Bob's board, this board, the spirit board, he says that a woman friend of his gets the checks for the board. EM or EP. He's EP, I guess, on the board, EM on the show. So I gotta ask him a few more questions. So EM, is it EP or EM, or did you decide to just change? I mean, you want to be anonymous, is that right? Or do you want to give your name?
I was feeling threatened. I didn't want to do the talk. on
you,
the show.
You didn't do the show tonight. We had a hard time getting you on, right?
I know, but I just said, you know, my first name is E, and the P is my mother's name, and M is my father, starts with my dad's name. So I just told the guy, you know, the guy, Mr. Roach. But I don't want to get into it. I felt uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. Do you do this because you're ashamed of your brother? Or your great uncle?
Well, a little bit. I don't want to be known as just for that. You know, I could have had some, I've had some hard, some challenges, I guess you'd say. Mm-hmm. I'm a good person, though. Mm-hmm. I've had bad thoughts.
Bad thoughts like what?
I was just doing bad things, and I talked to people, and they said, you know, like, they said it's not uncommon and to have that. And I had something called schizoaffective disorder.
Schizophreniform disorder?
It's called schizoaffective.
Schizoaffective disorder.
And it's mostly depression, but it's kind of, if I don't take my medications for a long time and I forget, if everybody's smiling at me, a lot of people are smiling, then I feel bad. And then I eventually, I have a friend, you know, and she'll catch me. And then we'll realize that I have to take something called Invega and lithium and things like this, you know, I've taken. So it's.
Have you ever been told you're a danger to others when you get this way?
Oh, no, I'm very kind. I'm not a danger to anybody.
Yeah.
I have a very kind nature.
You live alone?
Well, I live alone, but my next door neighbor is a good friend, and we're really good friends.
Do you have a dog or a cat?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
I have a dog.
Good.
But I'm a nice person. I'm a little ashamed of that. This is how I make my living, you know. I just happened to be. Bob had a. When he died, you know, he had a place in, I don't know if you know where the Pine Barrens are in New Jersey.
No, I've only been to Grover's Mill, actually. I've been to Grover's Mill.
Okay, but there's a place called the Pine Barrens, which are very kind of creepy. But there's a place there named Tom's River, and it was near there that he had a place. And then in his garage, he had a lot of projects that he was always doing some creative stuff when he settled down a little bit.
Right.
And in this one leather bag was the board.
And it was the board because he felt guilty and he wanted to contact his dead victims? Is that why he made the board?
Yeah, that's right. He was very a scary person. And I think he was up to a lot of things. And he would always, my dad, he said he would always show pictures of girls that he was dating all the time, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And my dad thought that was fooey. Because he thought he was homosexual, and he told me when I got older that he thought those are people that he had done things to, all the pictures.
Mm-hmm.
And so when he died, we went to the place. And I just remember it was kind of like an average looking house on the edge of the Pine Barrens, and they had all his clothes and all that stuff, and he was making posters to sell, you know, because this was like in the 70s and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they threw out all that stuff, but I asked my uncle, who was really like the like an executor guy taking over the estate. There was nothing of value, but he let me have the board, and he said he explained that this was a thing that he built for that reason, because when he had a very bad car accident, and they thought he wasn't going to make it, but he did make it. And it changed his personality. My dad said that he got a conscience because he didn't have one, even though he was like charming to us. There was something scary about him. And then when he had the accident, it changed. He changed, and then that's when he made this. You know, he had some skill as an artist, like a graphic artist. You know.
Uh huh.
And so that's when he made the board.
And then he basically left it to you as his legacy.
It was just in the garage part. He didn't
right.
leave it.
Right.
I took it.
You took it?
Yeah.
Right. And this is how you survive, by making money off his board, correct?
Yeah, I do some other stuff. I'm trying to be like a writer, but I'm not having any luck. But this is, you know, this is a real thing. You know, it really works.
All right. Well, we'll talk about it coming. We have Karen E. Dahlman coming up too. She is the director of the Talking Board Historical Society. We're going to have her on too with EM tonight. You're hearing the story of Bob, the serial killer who made a spirit board. And at EM now, he's the man who is the owner of the spirit board, and he wants to present it to everybody. So we're going to be back with more. Don't go away.
More with Clyde Lewis on FM News 101.
Well, you can't talk to the dead. You sure as hell can't.
Ouija.
Well, break that down for a minute.
That's we, because you're having a great time. And gee, it's because, aren't you having a blast because you're having a good time with the Ouija.
Gee, Kip, tell me about it.
Well, inside the package comes a flat board with all the letters of the alphabet, numbers from 0 to 9, and a yes, no written out by itself.
How does that work, Chip?
Well, you ask the question, and then the dead move your hands in the direction of the answers. Dead like to answer all sorts of trivial questions.
Feels like they'd have better things to do with their time, Kip.
No, lost souls are lost forever, and they're really glad to help.
No, but I would invite him over because we were both into the Ouija board really, you know, heavily, and we would get serious about it, you know, and say, okay, no fooling around, no screwing it up, you know, because people do that all the time with those things, and I'd just go, really concentrate, you know, because I feel like we can really contact the spirit world now tonight. I feel the vibe is perfect, so no screwing it up and fooling around. Okay.
The first world. Well, there was a tremendous question. We have lost millions of young men. What happened? Are they only two buckets of salt or a bucket of water over the verses of body? Or is there a life beyond the grave? And the churches were totally incapable of giving a reply.
It's claimed that China has been using automatic writing methods as a means of communicating with the dead since 1100 AD. However, the Ouija board as we know it today came into operation in 19th century America.
The greater exposure to worldwide cultures and religions was causing a radical cultural shift. Many began to question the traditional Christian religions and the teachings of the Bible, including its ban on speaking with spirits and the dead, mediums and other psychics.
Captain Who? Captain Howdy. Captain Howdy. I make the
questions made of sense. I'm Clyde Lewis. You are listening to Ground Zero. The numbers to call tonight, 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700 tonight. Speaking with EMEP, mysterious man who is the great nephew of Bob, the man who is bringing us Bob's board. Bob, of course, a suspected serial killer. Never stood trial for crimes in and out of mental institutions. And since we have such a unique board, and since EM has provided us with such a unique board, I had to consult someone who's an expert on boards to talk about this particular board, Karen A. Dahlman, who is the director of the Talking Board Historical Society. She's a channel for spirit guides. She's the author of The Spirits of Ouija and Four Decades of Communication. As a leading Ouija practitioner, she has been using the Ouija board since 1973 with astounding results. Karen teaches ways to connect with the afterlife, the higher self, and sentient beings that exist among us with unseen dimensions. Within her message, Karen shares the positive side to the Ouija board as a tool for exploring the expansive realms of consciousness. And I'd like to welcome Karen to the show. I'm going to also bring EM on this conversation as well. Karen, welcome to Ground Zero.
Yeah, good evening, Clyde. Great to be here.
So you've heard EM's story about Bob. You've heard that the board was made primarily for contacting the spirits of the departed that apparently Bob had a hand in creating. What kind of what do we call this board? This is beyond a Ouija board, actually, don't you think?
Well, we would call it a talking board or a spirit board. Definitely not a Ouija board. It doesn't have the name Ouija. Ouija is a trademark, so we can't call it a Ouija board. But yeah, I think calling it a spirit board or a talking board or a communication board is just fine. And I like the fact they named it Bob's board. It was Bob's board.
Yeah, it belongs to him. And it has, would that mean then that it has, since he made it, has a part of him in it, and he could be, you know, his spirit could be in the board. Is that true or not?
Well, I loved your opening this monologue because you address this really nicely. There is nobody sitting and making boards that are imbuing it with some kind of evil, demonic, or even positive force. They're neutral. They're just a chunk of masonite. In this case, this board, which I have on my lap right here in front of me, is made from cardboard, decorated really nicely. There's nothing in it. It's just like having a piece of paper in front of me. There's no energy or power to it. But what happens is our own minds, our own thoughts, our own perceptions and filters and beliefs start creating some energy, and that's where the magic starts happening. It happens from within ourselves when we use this tool.
I didn't get a chance to ask you, Em. Have you ever used the board at all?
I've used the board many times.
And what have you used it for?
I've used it to try to talk to friends that have passed, and I study the board. My uncle told me, and my grandfather was kind of an old school guy, but my uncle was more of a fun, relaxed guy. He said that Bob shared that the clues to every murder, everything is in the board. So I studied the board all these years, really since the 70s, and I figured certain clues in the board. There are all these little, it's unusual if you look at the board, there are all the little clues. I don't have the answers to most of them, but I just got the longitude and latitude of one crime scene is on the board. That I see, I think is true. And then he said the eyes, my uncle felt that the eyes, all the sets of eyes, because the eyes, each pair of eyes was a victim. So there's a lot of eyes, there's 17 eyes, and that's on the license plate. So I'm slowly putting down, I've used it and it's been effective for me, but I don't use it for evil.
Right.
Or anything like that.
So you're using it to try and figure out the crimes is what you're trying to do. You're using it as a way to figure out what happened.
Yeah, that I'm very curious about that because I'm trying to be a writer.
Right.
And I thought it would make a good book. But then in terms of I use it to talk to friends that have departed, not like victims or anything like that. But it's very effective. I've always talked to people. It really is. My experience, it might not ever work for anybody else, but it was worked for me.
Right. So, Karen, you have a board. You have three of them, of Bob's board. One's for you, and then the other two, where are they going now, you said?
Thank you for sending those boards over, EM. I'm part of the Talking Board Historical Society. So one is going to be going to our museum, our main museum, Talking Board Museum that travels, and one's going to one of our collectors who does collect oddities, including serial killers stuff. So they're going to good homes, and the one in my home that I have, I will keep it. I'll add it to my collection because I proudly display all the boards I have and use them all. And I also, EM, work with the board myself, and I use it mostly with a partner, but I can use it by myself. So I'm curious to you, EM, do you use it by yourself or with a partner?
Well, both, because I don't have that many friends, but I have one really good friend, and she'll, we'll use it together, but I've used it alone. But I think the company must have sent you the boards, because I didn't send anything.
You didn't send any boards to where the company did?
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
Karen, you say you've used the board. What have you? What kind of messages, if anything, have you gotten from the board or that have come through? Because I know it's an unconventional board. I mean, when you look at it, it's not like we were talking. You have to compare it to a Ouija board, but you can't because it's nothing like one. Actually, I mean, it's got the numbers and the letters, and it has true false. It doesn't have yes no. There are a number of other things on there, too, that are a little bit different that make it unique. And, of course, the planchette is not really a planchette, but a pointer. It is, I guess, I don't know. Why don't you explain to me a little bit, if I'm talking out of line here, just explain a little bit about the board and what kind of experience you've had with it, Karen.
Oh, sure. So the pointer, the indicator, looks like a hand. and it has its finger pointing up. It's green, and so that is what it points to. It points to the letters. Instead of having an opening, like a lot of the traditional Ouija board planchettes have an opening to them, this one has just a pointer. So it points to the letters. The real interesting thing about this board, people that are listening along, is that this board is actually a collage. So what EM's family had was a collage of, you know how you cut out letters and numbers? Yeah. out of magazines. Well, that's what this person did. He cut them out and stuck them to this board. And nothing looks like it's handwritten at all. It looks like everything was just cut out. And I do see at the very top left corner and the very bottom right corner is the latitude and longitude. I did see that right away too. There are definitely some unique symbols on here, very cryptic in many regards. But what it does have, of course, it has the full alphabet. It's laid out very much like a Ouija board in the fact that it does the arc, A through M on the first line, and the second line is N through Z. That's a good layout to have. I can use any planchette with this because the letters are laid out pretty nicely. They're large enough too. But the numbers are above the letters, and they're split in parts. And there's some interesting symbols on here. There's a giant face in the middle, words that say, I'm sorry, and then all the eyes that EM indicated. So what I did, I just got this board yesterday, and I typically work with my partner. My partner wasn't around to work this tool. So I went ahead and placed my hands upon the green hand, and it just, what spelled out was, where is Bob? It was like a question to me for something for me to think about, and it didn't give me anything more than that. And who I communicate mostly is not the dead. I used to, and I'll talk a lot about that a little bit further down the road. But who I talk to now is just a group of guides. I call them the guides. They're a group of ethereal beings who have never been incarnated in a body. And they come through every time I use the board, and that was their way to get us talking about this. Now, I will say this, Clyde and EM, I plan next week, I'm doing a live seance for people. I do plan on using this board on Halloween with my partner and see what kind of other messages we get from it. But I can tell you this, any single board I ever touch and use, doesn't matter what they look like, what kind of symbols they have on it, what kind of material it's made out of, they all work. And they all work the same for me every time. And when I'm with my partner, it's always the same guides that come through, no matter what the intentions of this board as it was created, you know, how your great uncle Bob created it for different reasons. It doesn't matter. It will work for me on the level in which I intend it to work and how I treat it and come to the board myself.
And I'm looking over the board now.
Bob's face, Clyde.
That's Bob's face.
Okay, I see that face.
He has a hairpiece. I gotta tell you, he always would wear hair pieces.
So he wore
more common then, you know.
Right. You can tell that that's a wig or something he's wearing on his face.
Yes.
It says here, speak closed door when finished. So instead of saying goodbye, he wants you to say close the door. So you open the door first to talk to the board, and then he says close the door. I'm just looking at all the things that are on here. There's,
I think close the portal. That was his car. That's a picture of his car.
Uh-huh. And then the eyes all over the board. Those are the eyes of the victims?
That's what my uncle thought. I think it's true.
Okay. And then longitude, latitude, that's on there. A cactus?
All the different numbers. Some of the letters have dots on them.
Mm-hmm.
And those dots spell something.
What about the...
Okay.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Then the two, where it says bugs, and the two in west.
Yeah, north, south, east, west, bugs, yeah. Uh-huh.
I put an S for south, and I'm trying to put all that into a word. I think it's been so long I get frustrated, but I think there's the clues that what he did bad was in there, and all this.
And there's a key symbol. And a bunch of skulls, at least two skulls on here that I see.
Three. I see three skulls.
You see three skulls. Okay.
Yeah, one at the very bottom.
Yeah, one is on the very bottom. Okay, I see that now. The baby. Okay, go ahead.
What man. It says solo over the man. I thought that meant Solomon.
Solomon. Interesting. All right, we're going to get back with more. We're discussing Bob's board. Karen A. Dahlman's with us, the director of the Talking Board Historical Society, and EM. who actually inherited the board from his great uncle Bob. We'll talk more about this mysterious board and what its purpose is and what messages are coming from it tonight on Ground Zero. If you have any questions, please call us tonight. 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. I'm Clyde Lewis. You're listening to Ground Zero, and we'll be back.
FM News 101 KXL.
On the phone with me is Ronnie with Life-Giving Oil. Now, I want to talk about Life-Giving Oil because there's something about it. It's called the three-letter effect. Can you tell us about the three-letter effect?
The three-letter effect is what changes everything in your body, and it's so powerful that the suits at the top of the world here don't want this to get out, and they don't want, honestly, they don't even want us talking about this stuff. They just want us to slide this over. I guess that's part of sleight of hand, but anyway, they want us to slide things over, and they don't want to talk about it. But let me tell you something, this will do a lot of great things, and at ancientlifeoil.com, we even have stuff for your pets. Yes, for your pets. And let me tell you, that works too. So I hope the vets are not like the medical establishment, but it's great stuff.
Why do you think they want to block the three-letter effect? Because it just certainly works for a lot of people. And quite frankly, this oil is amazing. I gave it to my wife to use after her breast surgery, and she is just enjoying it.
I think they, well, I know one of the pharmaceuticals has taken the three-letter effect, and they're mixing it, and they're what I call bastardizing it, so that they basically can call it their own and charge more money for it, and the only way you can get to it is through a doctor. And that's kind of what they want to do with supplements too, but I think it's all about control.
So if people want to find out about the three-letter effect, where do they go?
AncientLifeOil.com, home of the pyramid. AncientLifeOil.com.
And what are some of the benefits you get from the three-letter effect?
I think the three-letter effect is great for inflammation. I think the three-letter effect is, if you have a stressful day, and let me tell you something, people are dropping dead. This is really a truth. People are dropping dead from stress and having a heart attack, and their cardiovascular is actually in perfect health. So that tells you what stress will do. This will take care of stress, and it's good because there's no THC. So that's another thing that's really awesome. And it's really a safe product, but yeah, it's great.
So if you want to find out about the three-letter effect, get Ancient Life Oil and find out the benefits of the three-letter effect and find out why the big guys don't want you to know about it. Thanks, Ron.
Hey, thank you very much.
You're listening to Ground Zero with Clyde Lewis on FM News 101.
Dahlman's with us tonight, the director of the Talking Board Historical Society, along with PM, the great nephew of Bob, the infamous Bob of Bob's Board. We talked earlier with EM about his life and how he came to have this board, how he inherited it from his great uncle. And you were saying also that, you have, EM, that you said you have schizoaffective disorder. Mm-hmm. And you said, and I was talking with a friend of mine, and she was telling me about how some people, when they're touched by mental illness, some of them believe that they've been touched by the spirits. In other words, they have just open contact at all times. And I was just curious if, you said you've used the board and you said you've had contacts with friends who have passed. Do you believe that outside of the use of the board, that perhaps you get messages or you sometimes get word from either friends who have passed or maybe even some of the victims of Bob?
I think, the main thing they say when you with schizophrenia is that if you have it as a child, that's the worst kind. And I didn't have it as a child. And so I didn't get, it wasn't until later that the doctor, a number of them said that I had schizoaffective disorder, which is characterized by a lot of depression and kind of seeing hallucinations and things. But if I'm on my medication, it's not that serious with me. So I can't blame it all on that. I just can tell you that my intuition is that it really is working, because I've talked to people. I mean, I had, I'll put it this way, I had some celebrity people came to talk to me personally, you know, and I'm just an average person, but I had some celebrities talking, and they wanted the board, and one lady who her son committed suicide had the board, and she, because originally the board was just the same image, but I put it on wood with glue, you know, I made a color copy, and so I would, and a lot of people in Los Angeles used it. And one very famous actress, her son had killed himself. And she reached out to us, meaning me and my friend. And I sent her the board. And she said that she had spoken to him repeatedly and thanked me. And she's a very famous, she's dead now. I could mention her if you don't.
Sure, go ahead. Who is it?
Well, she was from the Dick Van Dyke Show, the Mary Tyler Moore. And she was very sweet, very kind.
Rosemary?
No, she was Mary Tyler Moore.
Oh, Mary Tyler Moore.
She was on the Dick Van Dyke. She had her own show.
She had her own show. It was Mary Tyler Moore.
Yeah. But she was very, she was searching for ways to communicate. And I understand. So it's in other words, what I'm saying, it's not just evil. You can, the portal is there to, you know, to channel what you want. I think Bob was naive and he put this together to talk to his victims, and then he didn't realize they're going to come, and they came back and haunted him, and he kept on driving around. At one point, my grandfather said he was there one day, and then a month later he was in another town, and then it caught up to him, and that's, I think that's why he killed himself. He drowned himself.
And his body was never found?
No, but he sent my grandfather a note. I saw the note, and it was typed, because he never would write in freehand. Bob never wrote anything down, and he would type it or use stencils.
And what did he say? What was his last words in the letter?
He said that he can't take it anymore because of the stress that he's being haunted. He said he made a mistake by making the board, and people were haunting him that he is hurt. And then he went into it was a New Jersey beach town and walked into the water. He said he was going to do it anyway in the letter, and no one ever saw him again. So my grandfather, who was a much healthier man, like a stable man, said, and he loved Bob for all his faults, and he said that Bob had a weird way of telling the truth about certain things, so he's convinced that he walked into the ocean.
And all crime exists on the same timeline, where happiness is an illusion. This is the future we are in right now, where our phones are the first things that we touch when we wake up, the last thing we touch before falling asleep. Radiant, seductive screens we so love endlessly gaze upon. Much like you're doing right now. Welcome to a future where our true reflection is only revealed once the screen goes dark. Welcome to the darkness. I hope you find it enlightening.
Give up.
I'm Lewis, and this is Ground Zero. Remember to call tonight, 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. Tonight, a story about a serial killer, an alleged serial killer, that makes a spirit board. And his great-nephew, EM, on the program, telling us a story about Bob, telling a story about how he was sought after by Mary Tyler Moore for this board because her son committed suicide. She wanted to know what was on the other side. And tonight also we have Karen A. Dahlman on the program, director of the Talking Board Historical Society. I want to bring Karen on, and I want to discuss some things. We'll have EM join your conversation in just a minute. But I just wanted to get back to the, I guess you could call it the tradition of the spirit board and where it came from. I'm having some feedback now. What, is there something going on here? Is somebody, it's just bizarre. We're getting feedback. Something going on here? Anyway, Karen, are you with us?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay, yes, we're getting some feedback. So I'll get again. Okay, we're getting echo from somewhere. Is that, do you have your speaker on or something there, Karen?
It could be me. I'm just double checking things to make sure.
All right, because we were having some technical difficulties at the top of the hour. We're just making sure that they're back on. So, Karen, I was actually saying, how the tradition, how far back does tradition go with these spirit boards?
Well, you can go back to where they first started, when they first came in. I mean, there was all kinds of divination devices that go way back in time. We've had many ways to communicate with the unseen dimensions. But specifically, the talking board goes back, and the information we found and uncovered in archives and letters, it goes back to 1886. And that board came out and was known as the Witch Board, like W-I-T-C-H. Now, we know about the Witch Board because when President Grover Cleveland got married, the board was sent to him as a wedding gift from the company that made it. That was the W.S. Reed Toy Company. And they sent a letter along with it, with the board, and sent it to, they also sent a copy of that letter to the Boston Globe. So it was published, but also the president sent a letter back, and he wrote back and basically thanked them for the witch board. And he said it was, you know, really made, it was made out of great ingenuity, but he says that he will hardly think I shall immediately test its power to disclose the past and forecast the future. So we know that's the entry of the talking board into the community of the spiritualist movement. And also it was in the United States only, but it was in 1890, the Ouija board that we know today got its start. In 1891, it was patented and trademarked and was in production at that point. So there's always some interesting stories about that. But in 1892, Canada bought some rights from us in the United States to sell their own version of the Ouija board. And so they started making boards in 1892. And the rest is history. And so a board such as Bob's board, which again falls into the category of talking boards, a lot of boards after the Ouija board made such a prominent splash into the market. I mean, everybody was buying them and using them at the heyday. I mean, this is when the spiritualist movement was going big time, and so much was going on with spirit communication at the time that people started making copycat boards and started doing different types of their own type of board. And of course, Ouija is a trademark patented name. They couldn't use that name.
Right. So you have to use different names. But I mean, this, the story behind this board is rather unique. I've never heard anything, particularly as unique as this story of Bob being a suspected serial killer, making a board. Basically, it's almost as if it's penance for him to make this board so that he would feel right about himself or what have you, in his own special way. I'm just curious if there are any other unique stories behind certain types of boards that have been released in the past.
There are many reasons that people make their own boards. And as you mentioned earlier, people do make their own and start customizing and selling them. But the degree of this type of story, no, I have never heard of this story. But there are reasons why people make boards. And it could just be a personal, their own little personal portal, or they want to communicate with the deceased one, or they see an opportunity to make money. There's a lot of different reasons. But this is a very unique case. And it's, I haven't ever heard of a serial killer making a board before. Or I shouldn't say he wasn't a serial killer. He was a supposed alleged. We don't know if he really was or not.
Yeah, we don't know if he did because he checked into so many mental institutions.
Right.
In fact, you know, that's the thing is he avoided any kind of prosecution because he checked into mental institutions. I mean, and since you've been using the board, you've gotten longitude and latitude. Have you submitted any of this information to the authorities? And if so, do they take it seriously?
Well, it's just kind of awkward because I haven't really, you know, this is really just a small thing that I was just selling. I would just put the color Xeroxes on board, and then I met this guy who used to work for Current Affair, which is an old TV show which is on like Channel 5 or something,
right,
in the East. And he was really, for years, he was kind of trying to do something with the board. And he worked on, he did producing, I think,
mm-hmm.
on Current Affair. And then he was the one who introduced it to the guys that make these, it's a company called Allied Board. And they make different games and things, and they took it to another level. Like, it's the same image, the same exact, you know, but then they took it and they just put it on a more quality thing with boxes and everything.
Yeah, and the background too, right? The background history.
Yeah, so then I told them everything, you know, and they put it down. But so they made it more sophisticated, I guess. But it's the same story. I mean, it's a very, and I tell people, you know, not to. I made them put on there that you can't be under 18 years old because this is real. This has really happened. This really works, and it's very scary. And if you have the wrong intentions, and you know, everybody, we all go to the same place at the end. But so some bad people that are around, and they go too. You know, so you don't want to summon them back. So I always say that it's not a joke.
Mm-hmm. Now, and I wanted to ask Karen, you know, I have criteria that I have, you know, if I ever use a board. I haven't used a board in a long time, let's be honest. I mean, I haven't used a board, I can't count back. I mean, I've been present during other sessions with boards. I mean, I know somebody who has their own board. They brought it in one night and they used it. It wasn't really a board. It was just something they just rolled out. Like it was a laminated piece that had a crystal glass that they use. I mean, and, you know, boards can be rudimentary like that. And even when you see the TV show Stranger Things, they use kind of a makeshift board with Christmas tree lights so that her little boy can the little boy can communicate with its mother or his mother. You know, it doesn't really, we really don't need boards, do we, Karen? I mean, even though the boards are there, you can channel on your own and you can use, automatic writing and other things. Am I right?
Yeah, that's a good point. The board is really not doing the work. We're doing the work ourselves. The board just becomes a permission slip, if you will, or it becomes a stepping off, jumping off point, a springboard into being able to access your own abilities to this work. A lot of people don't think that's the case, and I didn't think that was the case for many, many years. But when I realized what was happening here when I started working the board was that my own sixth sense ability started developing, really, it started really being fine tuned and taking the board away. I can still do this work. And a lot of people will use, in the old days, they used typewriters, mm-hmm. word processors. Now they use computer keyboards and they channel that way. And sometimes what I find with the board with people, it's the tactile experience and the movement itself that kind of opens up your receptor so you can start bringing in the information.
Right.
And so again, I want to be real clear. The board, there's no negative energies with any board. That's why I have no problem having any board in my home, something I got on eBay, even this board that the great uncle made for his purposes. I have no problem with that because I know nothing negative will happen unless I want that to happen, unless I try to bring that to me, or that's my desire, or that's how I view the world. So there's no reason for people to be scared about us even talking about this right. on the radio.
Well, a lot of people are, though. They think and say they don't understand, and this is what I want to try and bring out with this whole conversation. They don't understand that a lot of this has to do with what's inside of them.
And absolutely.
It's ideomotor responses that are basically muscular suggestions or subtle suggestions in the mind that come from the unconscious. It's from deep within dreamscape time. It's like you're in there and things come out of you. I mean, the human body and the brain are big transmitters. And so the only way this can work is to transmit through the body. And then the board, as you say, is like a permission slip. It's like a way to view. I mean, people would use pencils. I used to know a medium that would, when he would do his thing, he would just scribble. He would take a pencil and he would just scribble on a notepad, and he just scribble and scribble. And as he's scribbling, for some reason, he's just doing the scribble. He's looking at the scribble, and all I see is scribbling. But what he saw was something else. And so this was his way of, I don't know what it was, but it was just his way of kind of, I don't know, doing something with his hand while his mind was bringing in the information from wherever he was getting it from. So either you're scribbling or using a pendulum or you're using something else, but it certainly is there to have the mind generate or push through the body, the sensorimotor response that certainly is interesting when you see it in action. Tonight on Ground Zero, we're talking about Bob's Board. We have Karen A. Dahlman on the program, who is the director of the Talking Board Historical Society. You've seen her all over. She's been on Gaia. She's been on Gaia's show Beyond Belief. She's been a reoccurring guest on Coast to Coast AM, Fade to Black, Jimmy Church, of course, and of course EM tonight, who said at first he didn't want to do the show. Now he's feeling welcome. He's having a good time with us. We're glad. We'd like to get some calls from you tonight, talk with them. Questions you may have about Ouija boards, other criticism you might have, I'd like to hear from you about that. 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. Not to demystify the board. It's still a mysterious thing, but it's just to let you know that the board itself is inert. It's not something to be afraid of. It's what may be inside you that you have to think about when you project it onto the board. 888-673-3700. We'll be back.
FM News 101 KXL.
It's the things that go bump in the night. Ground Zero with Clyde Lewis.
Triple 8-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. Tonight we're talking with EM, who is the great nephew of Bob. Talking with him about Bob's Board, the origins of Bob's Board, and of course, with us is Karen A. Dahlman. She also certainly she has the board herself, and you say that Karen, you use spirit guides that talk. They're not necessarily dead departed people, but they're people who are there that talk through you as a channeler.
Well, they're not people, but yes. Yeah, so the idea is this: they've never been born and by. They're considered ethereal beings. What they call themselves is an extension of source energy. So they are of a light vibration. They don't have a body. They don't see. What they do is they feel and read vibrations through emotions and through feeling. And so they talk to me all the time since 1994. I met them through the board. They've been with me forever, but that's when I was able to open up to them. And they speak to the board for many, many years. And it's in the last several years that they've been able to communicate through my voice. And so they work through now my voice as well as through my writing, as well as on the board, and they help me write all of my books.
So you are a, I guess you could say you're an automatic writer. Your books are channeled.
I'm a channeler. I do automatic writing too, but my favorite tool of all times is the Ouija board. But yes, I do automatic writing, voice channeling, and I do a lot of dream work. And I love that you brought that up, because if people want to be in touch with their guides and deceased loved ones, the easiest way to be in touch with them is through your dreams.
That's true. Statistics show that 60% of people who have lost a loved one usually have contact with that loved one within days of their death, which is interesting. They either contact them through dreams or some other way. EM, did you ever have any contact, or did any time after the death of Bob, were you in contact with Bob? Did Bob come to you in a dream, or did you have him contact you through the board?
I think that he did come back through the board just to tell me to stay away from the board, and he was it was kind of like an evil presence. I was with this lady friend of mine, and she has a brother, and we were trying to, one whole Saturday and Sunday we just spent looking at all the clues, and we were looking at the Z. There's only one letter that's not cut out, and that's a Z.
Mm-hmm.
And then we were thinking that what is Z for serial killers, and so we thought the Zodiac killer. So we're trying to see if he was involved in anything like that.
So you were questioning whether he was the Zodiac killer.
Yes, and so we tried to reach him to ask. And there are a lot of scary things happened. You know, the power went off in the house, and just got us bad. It was bad energy. You know, you could just sometimes feel the energy, and we didn't pursue it. Because he was not a good person. He was scary. He would do anything. Because, you know, he seemed calm and happy. He was capable of anything.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what my dad would say, you know,
mm-hmm.
that he was capable of anything.
So nothing would surprise you. That would surprise him if you heard of something bizarre happening with Bob. It wouldn't surprise you at all.
No, or even if that he made the thing that he did it for to apologize. Maybe he was just lying about it. I don't know. He was such a con man about everybody. I think maybe that part is true, that he did change and have a conscience. But he was a scary guy, and I think he almost was like scarier than like a bad big, you know, like a Hell's Angels type of guy. He was a different kind of scary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can imagine that. Somebody with a grin on their face that you don't know whether or not what they're thinking. They just have that mischievous grin and those eyes that certainly have that this air of mischief about them and something. So, you know, that certainly is something that, you know, keeps people on edge and makes them feel like, you know, they don't know if they can trust or, you know, it just makes them feel a little on edge. So I can understand that. What we're going to do now is, you know, I was talking with Karen actually using the Skype message, and I was asking her if maybe, and I'm going to ask you on the air, if we were to ask the listeners to call in tonight and ask questions of these guiding, these light beings of yours, these guiding beings, could you give them answers if we were to do this tonight?
Sure, we can sure try that. And I feel they're here. Yeah, we can do that.
Okay, so what we'll do is we're going to, and I want to let everybody know too, that if you want Bob's board, if you want to get yourself your own Bob's board, all you got to do is just go to www.bobsboard.com. They're offering up Bob's board tonight for Ground Zero listeners. Want to get your own copy? You can purchase one. www.bobsboard.com. That's www.bobsboard.com. You can order it on the internet. And coming up, we're going to be, I guess we're going to be using these spirit guides tonight with Karen A. Dahlman and, of course, EM with us tonight. So call us, 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. I'm Clyde Lewis. You're listening to Ground Zero, and we'll be back.
More with Clyde Lewis and Ground Zero on FM News 101.
Yeah.
Zero. Yes, it is Halloween. We're getting closer and closer to Halloween. Tonight is a special Halloween show. VM with us, the great nephew of Bob, Bob's Board, tonight. And also, if you'd like a Bob's Board, they're available at www.bobsboard.com. And they're available. And special Ground Zero, www.bobsboard.com. So pick up your board if you want one. Karen A. Dahlman also is with us, director of the Talking Board Historical Society. She also channels spirit guides. And tonight we were going to, and we are going to, bring in the beings of light for her to channel, and people are going to ask questions, and we're going to have also EM sit on the conversation tonight as well. So are we ready to go, Karen?
Sure.
Okay, let's do that. Let's go to
Well, before we start taking calls, I want to make an opening statement and do the prayer that I do to set the stage.
Sure.
So I want everybody to know who's listening to this show right now, and also who may listen to it in the future, that what I like to do is state intentions, which what it does, it raises our vibrations. You can call it a prayer. You can call it the light. I will use those words as well. But what it does, it raises all of our vibrations, no matter when you're listening to this, if it's an hour or later. And it brings in the highest and purest of the vibrations so I can reach the guides and so they can come through. Also, no, I'm not using a Ouija board. So if anybody has fears about that, I'm not using a board at all. I'm just allowing them to come directly through me. So you're going to hear them come through me. My voice will sound similar to what you're going to hear. They just come through at a little more direct pace than maybe I might speak. So there'll be a little difference in that. And so let me start with the prayer, if I may.
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, and this is just me, Karen, to give me the prayer. God, Goddess, Universe, Spirit, all of our guides and those relations that have us at heart, who love us and have the best interest for us. We ask that you are invited here today, tonight, on this show. We're all standing surrounded and enveloped in light. We're standing in the source of love. We're protected in this space all together. And as we communicate tonight with the guides as they come through and with you, that allows us to stay in that space, that bubble of love and light, and that you are fully grounded and protected. And when I do this work, I make sure I'm grounded, and I make sure the light is around myself as well. So the light surrounds every single one of you listening. It surrounds this whole radio production. It surrounds all of us here. And with that, we say thank you, and we may begin. So you can go ahead and we can start.
All right. We're going to go to TJ to start off. TJ in Rhode Island. Hi, TJ. You're on Ground Zero.
Thank you, Clyde. I appreciate this because, as Ron knows, and maybe you, I lost someone very close to me January 31st, 37 weeks ago. It's pretty upended my life. I try every day looking for some indication of survival after death. And I've since made decisions and plans, and I'm wondering, you know, thumbs up, thumbs down on what I've decided, and if there's any indication or anything that comes through regarding a message.
Okay. So what I need to do is give me one moment. I need to just take some breaths and get in this space, and then we'll come through. Greetings. We are glad that you called in tonight. We are here to tell you that, and we want everybody to listen to this as we speak. Every single one of your loved ones is in a space of the highest vibration, although they may not seem like they are at times because you fear for them, you cry for them, you miss them. We want you to know that this is the same for everybody, what we're going to say tonight to you, although there are specifics to what you just asked. We want to say thumbs up to you to move forward in your life with the plan that you have in place, because what we are hearing, that we're feeling from your vibration, and we're hearing in the feeling of it that this is the right choice for you, right step for you. We want you to know that there's a she, there's a female present that's saying, you are what you want to be, and you are now beginning to step in that. Do not be sad for this loss, for we want you to know, it's a she wants you to know, that everything you hold dear in your heart of this person and of this love and desire is going to be strengthened from the place where she is now. You must understand this, that she had to leave this space. We are also picking up on a gentleman, but she had to leave this space and is surrounded by loved ones, but left a space so you could begin to grow on your own. Everybody must understand that there's always a timing and place for death with transition. We don't call it death. We don't know that word. We call it life after life. Life continues on, and you will be blessed and followed and loved and cherished from the other dimensions as you move forward. Many are around you, surrounding you, and helping you with this. Please lift this from your heart. Allow them to help you with your burden. And we wish you much love with that.
Okay, thank you.
That work for you, TJ?
It works for me. I'll say that. But
okay. All right, well, TJ, right. Thank you. Bye. And you're skeptical, so I appreciate that very much. He was very skeptical when he came in, and I think maybe he got the message he was looking for. Charlotte in Pennsylvania, you're on with Karen. Go ahead.
Thank you. I was calling because I dearly still love my husband. And he died 26 years ago, and I wanted to know if you could get in contact with him.
Okay, this is Karen right here. I'm going to go back out. I do want to say one thing. What I've learned about working with the guides, and this is what I've learned about true spirit guides, they're never going to live your life. They're never going to give you answers that's going to influence you to. They're going to instead support you to find that within yourself. This is the power of these beings. Okay, so here we go. Give me a second here. Greetings, we say. We say greetings because we know of your love and your sorrow, but we also know how much you have blossomed since this passing. He says, I am here and still been with you. And you remember, you recall, you have felt me. There is something that we feel from a watch. From a clock, you take time, you keep time. And he's saying that that is part of the moments of him showing himself to you in the form of a clock of time, saying that every moment that you have here left on this plane, this third dimension, is that he's saying he loves you and shows you and counts it down with you. That it is a good thing. And 26 years is nothing, he's saying. He's saying, I see you. You see me. You feel me all the time. And I'm always here, he says, waiting for you. We see that this clock, this watch, this some timepiece is of great relevance to you. Hold that dear.
Charlotte, does that help you?
Yes. Thank you so much. Thank you. I've always thought that he'd be is still around. It's almost like I can't let go of him, you know, to if they have to go beyond or something. I always told him, tell him he has to wait for me.
Yeah.
Well, Charlotte, I do want to say this. Time on the other dimension is like instantaneous. There's a lack of time, really. And just know this, what my experience has been, even with our deceased pets, they stay with us. They're with us. They are watching us. And what I'm hearing is that there is all these indications he's been giving you, and you've noticed them, but you kind of go poo-poo. You go, that can't be. But he's given them to you. And just pay attention now to some kind of, I guess what they said was like a timepiece or something. And I think you're going to get more answers with that.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you. You bet.
You're welcome, Charlotte.
Go to Karen in Illinois now. Karen, you're on with Karen. Go ahead.
Hi there. My son committed suicide in January. And so I'm just wondering if you are able to get any message from him, or will the guides help you? I really would like to hear from him.
Okay, Karen, let me see. Let me just take a couple breaths here. Oh, we sense great sorrow in your heart. We say, that's all right. You can feel that, have that grief. It is time for grief. And your son, yes, your son says, Mom, I'm so sorry. That is not what I intended. I didn't know how much it would affect you, and I will always love you, and please forgive me. It's a pain that I can't forgive myself, but I'm working on that. I will always, always miss you, but I'm with you too, and I am loved, and I've been greeted by the best people, the greatest people here, our family. I'm not alone. You worry that I am. You worry that I've been condemned, and it's not the case. Yes, I'm reflecting and thinking so much about what has happened, so much about what I did. And I did it with a lot of regret, but I wish you could know now that I do experience love, and I want you to feel that too. and know that I am with you. I'm looking out for you. And you do feel me brush by sometimes. You do smell me sometimes. And just keep and hold on to that. But please know, Mom, please know that I am always with you. And I love you so much. Thank you for all you tried to do for me, because it really does matter. And with that, we say this is a beautiful moment for you to soak this in. Know that your son has never left. Your son is just one breath away, just to the side of you. Just reach your fingers out. He's right there, a few inches. No, we know you can't feel him physically, but we want you to be more aware of his presence, because you have smelt him. You have felt him. There's a smell, that something that you get, and it reminds you of him. So please hold that dear, and know, sweet Karen, that he is fine. Thank you.
Thank you so very much.
Oh, you're so welcome. I'm so sorry for your loss. I'm so sorry. I can feel it when the guides come through. I'm really emotional, because I can feel all that pain. His regret, but I can feel your pain. And I hope that you are paying attention to these signs, because he's so close to you, and he's so sorry.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
You're very welcome, Karen.
Thank you. We'll be back with more Ground Zero. Don't go away.
FM News 101 KXL.
Are you intrigued by Paranormal Talk Radio? You'll love the new Paranormal Radio app from TalkStream Live. You'll find a great selection of talk shows covering UFOs, ghosts, strange phenomena, and much more. Download the Paranormal Radio app now and start listening to the very best in paranormal talk entertainment. The Paranormal Radio app, free in Google Play and the iOS App Store.
This is Ground Zero with Clyde Lewis on FM News 101.
I wanted to get some final words from EM before we let him go. EM, I just want to know, is there anything more you'd like to say? Then we'll say goodbye to Karen, maybe get another phone call in, but just a few more words from you.
No, just I appreciate you letting me talk. I've never done a show. I don't think I'll ever do another one.
Well, did you have a good experience here? That's all I want to know.
Yeah, you're all very polite and nice. And, I'm not trying to make any big statement. It just is what it is. This is all the real deal to me.
Okay.
It's what my family legacy, and I'm just, maybe it could help people, I don't know.
I hope so. I hope so. I hope it helps people. And I thank you. I thank you for your time, AM. Thank you so much. And a reminder, www.bobsboard.com. It's www.bobsboard.com if you want to pick yourself up one of those boards. Karen, I think we have time for one more call to get to. And, let's ask, James has a question. That's a good thing. James, your question for Karen. Go ahead.
Yes. What is the best way of raising a spirit vibration in addition to prayer? What is the, and if the answer is meditation, what is the best form, since there are different forms of meditation?
Oh, that's a fantastic question. So you've got it. The number one thing most people use is prayer. Or meditation. Both those work really well. But one of the best ways, we'll talk about meditation in a second, a little bit more to that. One of the best ways to raise your vibration is to get yourself in states of joy. Find things in your life that give you such great passion, and find ways to incorporate that within your life. For every time that you get into a state of joy, your vibration is automatically to the highest it can be. Joy is equated to love. So moments when you feel that ecstasy of love, because, those come and go in our lives. We can't always hold on to them. Joy is something we can create. If you pursue something you absolutely love, that you get lost in time. Let's say you like to do art or music, dance, some kind of expression. Maybe you just like to get out and be in nature. Maybe you like to be with your child. It's that moment of that feeling you get. If you can encapsulate that, you can go back to it and recreate it. That is what the guys that always teach what is creating joy in your life right now. What can you do to follow that joy and bring more of it into your life? And that is the number one easiest way to raise your vibration.
Okay, so renunciation doesn't even come into the picture.
What's that again?
Renunciation doesn't even
No, it does not. Okay, it can. Yeah. And about the meditations too, there's many different practices you can practice. There isn't one good one. The good one good one is the one that works for you. So we would recommend, in terms of a meditation, it could even be a movement meditation. Now, that's not a traditional way of meditating, but that might help you get into a better space. Religion helps. The problem sometimes we see is that dogma can get in the way of stopping you from this ecstasy or stopping you from getting into joy, which is internally yours. So whatever way you can get your own internal joy inside out, it has to come from the inside. That's what you want to do, James.
Thank you, James, for the call. Karen, is there anything you have to do tonight to close the session we're doing tonight? Because it's almost time to go.
I do want to close it. I also want to say, Ian was very brave to come on. I appreciate talking to him. I appreciate his board and just how hard it is for him. I do want to close the session by saying I always give thanks to the guides. I want to say thank you all so much tonight. Thank you guys for coming forward. Thank you for bringing us the energy, inspiration, and wisdom and helping these people and speaking with them. And I also want to say, may the light, this is Karen speaking, may the light be with all of you. It surrounds you all right now. And may you find that light within yourself, for truly it is a light within yourself that will always keep you grounded, protected, and safe.
Karen A. Dahlman, thank you so much for being on the program. It was a fascinating show. I think a very enlightening show about the boards. EM, thank you for being on the program. And we'll be back with more Ground Zero. Take care. Remember, listen to groundzero.com. Listen to groundzero.com to hear the rest of the show as we go into the wee hours of the nighttime, into the morning for some. And if you want Bob's board, it's www.bobsboard.com. That's www.bobsboard.com. We'll be back with more. Don't go away.
FM News 101 KXL.
Ground Zero. So this is where the first guy got AIDS.
Peter, this is the site of the 9/11 terrorist attacks.
Oh, so Saddam Hussein did this?
No.
The Iraqi army?
No.
Some guys from Iraq?
No.
That one lady who visited Iraq that one time?
No, Peter, Iraq had nothing to do with this. It was a bunch of Saudi Arabians, Lebanese, and Egyptians financed by a Saudi Arabian guy living in Afghanistan and sheltered by Pakistanis.
So you're saying we need to invade Iran?
I'm Clyde Lewis, and this is Ground Zero. The numbers to call tonight, 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. You know, I got to admit that when I was, probably my first few years, formative years in radio, I actually was called to be at a seance, and the Ouija board freaked me out. It just freaked me out to no end. Until somebody, they made a great point, and that is, because I used to say the Ouija boards are evil. And somebody said to me, no, Ouija boards are not evil. And they're not. I mean, they're just inanimate objects that we put a lot of power into. I mean, people say, well, you know, I'm not going to get a board because it's evil. You know, some people collect boards just because they're art. They're, in a lot of ways, they're artwork. And it'd be like, well, if I use a pen and pencil set to connect with my dead loved ones, would that make the pen and pencil set evil? No, it wouldn't. I mean, we use anything. I mean, people use any. I mean, if you want to talk about, you know, iconography or whether or not we use icons or we use sigils or we use anything to empower, one of the things that really got me was that while the board itself is inert, and while what happens is that everything goes through you and it shows itself on the board because of the idiomotor movements of the body during the Ouija board session, I think it's a lot worse that I remember back during the 9/11 days where they used to take, you know, pieces of the rails that had been taken from Ground Zero and they put them on, They put them on pillows and they send them on tour so people can touch it and close their eyes and put their, you know, it's like, I didn't understand that. I didn't understand that. They basically say there's some sort of power. And you know what? They're right. There is some sort of power. It's power that was energized through loss of life. As I said earlier, Ouija boards are not blessed by some satanic minister. They're not energized with death. They're just tools. I mean, there are a lot of things we do not know. There are a lot of things we don't know about the powers of the brain and powers of the mind, and there is a lot of complexities that even psychologists can't grasp. The human brain is one of the most power receivers of all messages, whether they be electronic or from some other source. We have good and evil messages. Evil is an interpretation of such. I mean, sometimes you can be a conduit and a receiver of inspiration, and the voice of inspiration comes to you without even breaking a sweat. You can say to yourself, oh, I can do this, no problem. I feel it. I get it. The spirit, have you ever heard the term, the spirit moved me? The spirit moves people. And as far as channeling is concerned, you know, in 1916, there was a prolific author by the name of Patience Worth. And she wrote a lot of books, poems, and plays. For nearly 20 years, this author was writing thousands of pages, and it seemed that there was no end in sight. Patience Worth wrote that she was a native of Dorset, England, who lived in the 17th century. She later immigrated to America and was killed by native people. It all sounds peculiar, and yet it happened. How could a woman who lived in the 1600s be such a successful author of a book some 300 years after her death? Well, it was because Pearl Curran, who was a woman who lived in St. Louis, she was poorly educated with no formal education in history or literature. She played the piano, she read a little bit, wanted to be an actress, she dabbled in the art of divination. And during one afternoon, Pearl had a tea party with her mother and a friend who lived nearby, and conversations would wind down and eventually led to games played on witch boards. And Mrs. Hutchings, who was Pearl's neighbor, claimed that she never understood the appeal of the boards because they delivered nothing but jumbled sentences and vague answers that no one could figure out unless someone took dictation or wrote it down. One day, the board surprised the ladies when the sentence was spelled out during one of the teas. Many moons ago, I lived. Again, I come. Patience Worth is my name. And this was the initial contact with Patience Worth. And then her messages would come through the Ouija board when Pearl and Mrs. Hutchings played their hands on the planchette. She put their hands on the planchette, and many sessions with the board, a lot of writing came about. It became more evident that Pearl was the one that was mainly responsible for the contact with the alleged entity. And it seemed that when anyone would sit down with Pearl, Patience would come through the board and reveal her secrets to whoever wanted to listen. For centuries, histories and texts, they've all described the power to speak with discarnate beings. Magicians, preachers, popes, prophets, they all claim to have been influenced by spirits. And some have claimed the ability to do automatic writing and scrying. William Wordsworth was a 19th century poet. He gave us words to read if we ever wondered about our existence, and we read about what he had to say. He said, "Our birth is but a sleep and forgetting. The soul that rises with us, our life star, hath had elsewhere its setting, and cometh from afar, not in entire forgetfulness, and not in utter nakedness, but trailing clouds of glory do we come from God, who is our home." So, life before death, life after death, life continues ad eternum. And so we have the ability, through our bodies, to bring forward some of the spirits that lurk within our cores. They are with us, ancestors, those who we associated with, those that our ancestors associated with. And so, from casting of the runes to crystal balls, the person who wishes to transmit or receive a message uses the tools, and it's just showmanship. That's all it is. But in doing so, one takes the mind to a different level. It's a stepping stone for further divination. And the most popular tool that is used to contact the spirit world is the Ouija board. And never has a device met with so much controversy than this board adorned with numbers and letters and this planchette pointer. And the reason it's so controversial is that on one hand, many say the board is fake. While others claim that rather than getting simple responses from certain entities, you're opening yourself up to the influence of numerous spirits, both good and evil. Another controversy, which is not always discussed, is that most people who have Ouija boards do not actually know the procedures to make them work. So they either project responses or they get no response at all, or they just don't use the boards. I mean, we always hear that the boards are evil, but I've concluded that the boards are simply oracles that allow for the human mind to channel archetypes in the collective unconscious. I mean, I have a glow-in-the-dark Ouija board. I seldom use it. I also have an older Ouija board somewhere stashed. But they have, it's basically glow-in-the-dark Ouija boards down that they market. And, you know, they say, oh, it's been a mystery for over 30 years. However, in the first versions of the Ouija board, in the form of exploring pendulums, diviners, they were in Europe some 1,600 years ago and possibly 1,500 years earlier in China. But old-fashioned oracles have likely, they were there. They didn't have any clues or mysteries behind them. All they were boards with numbers and letters on them. That's all they are. I mean, maybe you have a different viewpoint. Maybe you think they're just inherently evil, but there's nothing on them, no symbols or anything that I would consider evil. There's no pentagrams, nothing that would be considered sigils of evil. And when I go to various ghost festivals and conferences, I always bring up the use of the Ouija board for seances, and I get a lot of mixed reactions from it. I mean, the negative reactions are ironic, in my opinion, because the same people who say bad things about Ouija boards, who shun Ouija boards, are the same people who use pendulums for, this type of work, or divining rods to find ghosts or to have questions answered from the beyond. And to me, it's no different. It's no different. I mean, you could argue that maybe you think it is, but it's not. It's not different, because a pendulum is just as inert as a board. A crystal ball is just as inert as a board. The power comes through the person. So if you want to have an evil experience with a Ouija board, it's because you have it in you to have that evil experience. Nothing's going to take you over if you don't have control, and you should have control in all times with these things. If you're allowing yourself to be drunk or drugged, and you're using a Ouija board, or you're using a pendulum, or you're using divining rods, and you find yourself in a bad experience, most of the people that have bad experiences with Ouija boards, the reason why they do is because they don't follow the rules. And they do things, and they act stupid, and they think it's all a game. It's not a game. It's a serious tool if you want to use it as a tool. But if you want to use it like a loaded gun and wave it around like some crazed maniac, yeah, you're going to have some bad experiences with a Ouija board. So no, I'm not the type of guy that's going to tell you, oh, Ouija boards are evil, Ouija boards are bad. No, they're not. They're inert. They do nothing. The people that touch them and work with them, most of what is being said, most of being revealed, is like an open secret. And it comes through you. It comes through those you associate with. It comes onto the board. And it's a miraculous tool if you decide that this is something that you want to believe and you want to attach a supernatural label to it. But, I mean, I'm open to listening to your experiences with the Ouija board, because everybody, I think, has had an experience, bad or good. I mean, the only bad experience I've ever had with one is when Abby Sooth showed up, the demon that showed up during a seance that we had at a place that was haunted. And that's the only bad experience I've had with a Ouija board, really. I haven't had any bad experiences since then. I've had a lot of interesting experiences. I've had a lot of I guess you could call it prophecy or immediate prophecy being held in it. And I always make sure that if a Ouija board is used, that someone is taking notes, or at least they're by a computer to do research on any of the stuff that comes through. Because most of the time, you know, you have something come through, and if you don't know what it is, you just reject it and say, it means nothing to me. But sometimes things come through and you don't even know where they come from. They're coming through you. But by whom? That's the question. And how do you interpret it? Well, that's up to you. 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. We've all had experiences with Ouija boards. We've all had experiences with contacting, or at least being visited by ghosts or someone that would be a disincarnate spirit. Many of us have experiences with demons. Well, tonight I want to open the phones for that, because, of course, it is inching ever closer to Halloween. I'd like to hear your stories. They're always interesting to hear. We had a few great ones last night. Maybe we can have a few tonight. 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. I'm Clyde Lewis. You're listening to Ground Zero, and we'll be back.
FM News 101 KXL.
This is Ground Zero on FM News 101.
Let's go to Mike in Oregon. Hi, Mike. You're on Ground Zero.
Hey, how are you doing, Craig?
Good.
Good. So, I had a question, and it kind of sparked my question by how you're referring to certain experiences you've had.
Yeah.
Where you were naming a specific, what you would call demons.
Yes.
So I'm curious as to how you've come to the conclusion in certain experiences as to how you can nail them down.
Because the demons identify themselves.
They just say their names to you?
Yes, they've said their names to me.
How so?
Well, I was doing a seance in a building, and during the seance, a demon named himself Abisu. Or Abisuth.
Like, was it, or you heard it in your head, or something?
No, it spelled it out. It spelled it out Obisuth. It was really Abisuth, but it spelled out Obisuth. O-B-I-S-O-U-T-H. Obisouth, it said. I didn't know what that was. And then somebody who knew something about demonology said, is he saying Abisuth or Obisuth? I looked it up. It's Abisu. Why? It's Obisuth. It's Abisuth. It's a demon that's related to Lamashtu, which is a demon that kills children.
Amazing.
Yeah, I mean, demons name themselves. It just depends on, you know, what pantheon. I mean, they all have different names. I mean, and they're different pantheons. Like, for example, if someone was to ask me, you know, different names for different demons, I mean, we talk about Baal. We've talked about Baal a lot on this program. There's Karanzan. That's a demon that Aleister Crowley used to talk about. Asmodeus. That is the name of a demon that's in front of a chapel. Renly Chateau. Asmodeus is the name of the demon in front of that, in front of the church there. Mammon is the demon of greed. I mean, if you know anything about demons, you know, they'll name themselves.
I've had my personal experiences. I just never had any, writings on the wall, so to speak, or...
Well, yeah, if they speak aloud to you,
English language.
Well, none of them really have English names that I know of. I mean, Abraxas doesn't sound English in any stretch of the imagination. We know of Abaddon, we know of Apollyon, that's from Christian demonology. But there are different demonologies and mythologies where you have demons that show up all the time. I mean, the Antichrist is only in the Christian eschatology. There's Dajjal, which is in the Muslim demonology. We have the Dybbuk, that's a Jewish demon. We have the Jinn, which is also a Middle Eastern Islamic, not necessarily a demon, but it's sort of a homunculus that's basically created for the business of carrying out a deed or a misdeed. There are plenty of different demons. There's Botis, which, of course, is... another Christian demon. There's a hierarchy of demons. I mean, you can read about them. I mean, Solomon's temple used goetic demons to build the temple. There's so many different demons. There's the Demogorgon. There's, of course, the devil. There's Satan. Some people consider Lucifer a demon when Lucifer was an angel, but of course he's a fallen angel. I could just go down the list of many of these that certainly have their ties to certain religious groups.
Do you feel like they all answer to one master, or it's regional, like their names?
I don't know. I don't know how the hierarchy of demons work. I just know that there are plenty of different names for demons, And some of them mimic the others, like Moloch, of course, or Molech is a lot like Baal. But we have to say that Moloch is pretty much a pagan Christian and Jewish demon. I mean, there's several demons that are named for all of the pantheons. Some are just for certain pantheons. And that's the thing, is that you need to know, like, for example, in the movie Hereditary, they use the demon Paimon. And Paimon is more or less the Middle Eastern jinn, but Christians are aware of Paimon. There's Pazuzu, the demon of The Exorcist. And basically, a lot of people say that when they're on a Ouija board, they somehow connect with a demon called Zozo, or Zozo, which is Pazuzu. It's the same demon, except it goes by different names. And so you have to pretty much, you know, work through the demon names to figure out which one is which and whether or not, whether or not they have the same traits as another demon. It's just demons have names. They're given names. They speak names. When you call out and say, give us your name so you know which demon it is. And if it's one of the hierarchies, man, you're dealing with some pretty mean stuff. You're dealing with some really evil stuff.
Yeah.
All right. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, I know. Thank you.
Bye-bye. 888-673-3700. It's 888-673-3700. We'll be back with more Ground Zero. Don't go away.
FM News 101 KXL.
More with Clyde Lewis and Ground Zero on FM News 101.
Gentlemen, please remove your jewelry.
What's going on?
Ladies, please remove your gloves.
I believe we're about to commune with the spirits.
Please, join hands. I ask forbearance. I ask you to suspend your disbelief.
I call to the speakers of the dead. Come to me. Come to me.
For 1 minute, Sanford didn't run. You're your master, your lover, your mother.
In Jesus' name, say that again. All right. Spirit, in Jesus' name. What's your name?
Abizu.
Spirit, in Jesus' name. Who are you?
Abizu.
I command you in Jesus' name to speak.
Abizu.
What is your name? Speak in Jesus' name.
Abizu.
I command you in Jesus' name to speak. Who are you? What is your name?
Do not fear me, child. I have always been here. I have witnessed your past as the one.
Ground Zero. The numbers to call tonight, 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. Witch boards, spirit boards, Ouija boards, Bob's board. Are you board certifiable? Tonight, Ground Zero, we're just looking for your stories about Ouija boards. I only had one bad experience with one. One. Most of the time, they've been fun and informative, but, you know. And the reason why I had a bad experience with my Ouija board was because, well, it was a Ouija board that we used to have a seance in a place that was haunted. It's because a woman came into our seance. She was drunk and also pregnant. She had been drinking and she was pregnant. She was buzzed. And we told people, first of all, you don't come into a seance drunk or at least buzzed. No alcohol, nothing. No drugs, no alcohol. She came in a little tipsy. She demanded to be a part of the seance. And when the demon that showed up on the board revealed that someone in the circle had a baby, it pointed to her and she was going to sue us because she said, you allowed a demon to come into the room to kill my child. And we said, no, you were drinking alcohol and you shouldn't be drinking alcohol if you have a child. I mean, what do you do? You produce spectral evidence to say that a demon tried to kill your child when you were trying to kill your child the whole time by drinking alcohol? Let's go to Sven in Virginia. Hi, Sven. You're on Ground Zero.
Hey, how you doing tonight, Clyde? Good to talk to you again.
Good to talk to you, man.
Okay, here it is. Back in about 1992, and I've been friends with this guy for at least, oh, God, almost 15 years, and we're still friends today. We rented this old house together. And it was in a basement, and there was two bedrooms, but behind our bedroom, there was this fake wall, and we decided to be, you know, the inquisitive people, and we kind of went behind it, and there was a closet that was boarded up, and we found this Ouija board. So we decided, and we'd never seen one or played with one or used one. We didn't know anything about it. This time, we're only 2021, and we were playing with it, and he had already been drinking, and I've known him, like I said, for a long time, and all of a sudden he just changed. I could see something in his eyes. His ears started twitching. I mean, like, you know, actually twitching like how a cat will bring him up and down. It was kind of very noticeable. And then he started growling, and as he was growling, he's, I'm a Nubian. So if you didn't hear me, he was claiming to be a Nubian. I don't know if you've ever heard of a Nubian.
A Nubian? He said, I'm a Nubian?
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah.
Did you ever figure out what Nubian was?
Yeah, I actually just looked it up. They're not from the planet Earth. They're, give me a second here. I have it here. It's Anubis. A-N-U-B-I-S.
Oh, Anubis.
In Greek.
Anubis.
Yeah.
Well, Anubis is the the guardian, the death guardian of Egypt. Anubis.
Yeah.
But Nubia is a place in the Sudan, isn't it?
I'm not sure. I just remember something like Anubian, Anubis. I mean, this was 30 years.
I think the Nubia comes from Anubis. I'm not sure. I mean, I could be wrong. But it would be like Anubis, which of course is the god of death, and the Nubia would be named after Anubis, and I think it's near the Sudan or it's in Egypt or it's close to Egypt, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I've got it on Wikipedia right now, and it says Egyptian.
Oh, okay.
It says associated with the mummification and the afterlife in ancient Egypt religion. Usually depicted as a canine. I guess that would explain his growling.
Mm-hmm.
But, so he was acting really weird. And like I said, we had found this, and this was not like a Parker Brothers Ouija board. This thing was really old. And in the morning when he woke up, he didn't really recollect what he had done or how he was acting, but he knew that he didn't feel right. Something, and he wasn't like he was hungover because he didn't drink that excess. He just knew something wasn't right about him. And so I'm like, dude, we played with this Ouija board. And he didn't remember it. So I said, like, we're going to go burn it. So we went out to the grill in the backyard, threw it on the grill, got charcoal fluid, you know, for the briquettes.
Mm-hmm.
Tons of it. It didn't burn. It didn't even blacken.
No, you don't burn Ouija boards, that's for sure.
Okay, see, like I said, we were very young and we didn't have any knowledge.
Yeah, I think you're supposed to cut them up. You know, break them apart.
What we ended up doing was burying it with a rosary, some holy water, and then buried it in a construction site and threw a bunch of dirt on it.
Mm-hmm. And I got rid of it?
Well, I never had any problems because I didn't really play with it. He was playing with it by himself.
I'm wondering about the Nubian pharaohs, because if they were pharaohs of Nubia, were they dark pharaohs? Were they pharaohs who practiced death magic or at least corpse medicine? I'm just curious. I'd like to do some research on whether or not the Nubian pharaohs, or at least the Nubian leadership, whether they be gods or what have you, We're practices of dark arts. I was just curious. It just sounds like, you know, something. If he says he's a Nubian, it may have been a spirit that was cast forward, you know, sometime in the ancient Nubia, I guess, right there, you know, off the Nile somewhere, you know, kind of like a mummy, I guess, or the spirit of a mummy, or the, I don't know. I mean, it's just an interesting thing that he said that he was a Nubian. I think that's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, it was crazy. Like I said, I was still friends with this guy. We've been friends since 1980, you know. We keep in touch all the time. And I don't know if you remember when we met there at the Gore Bar in Richmond.
Yeah, I remember.
Okay, yeah. So, I've known him a long time, and where we both have, like, pretty much the same beliefs, but he still remembers it from the story that I told him, but he doesn't remember claiming that. He doesn't remember growling, going, "I'm a Nubian."
I'm a Nubian.
Like I said, and his eyes and his ears kind of twitched.
And you know what's interesting is with all of the the so-called exorcisms, or you know, when people are possessed. I actually had we did an exorcism on the air once, and we had a guy who was going to call in and talk about this, so the channeling and the exorcisms that we did a while back. And this one guy, I can't remember his name. Offhand, it was a long time ago, but every time he fell asleep, he would start speaking in sort of an Egyptian or Syrian language of some kind, a language that he didn't understand. It was because he basically made a deal with it. He was, I guess, near death, and something came to him when he was at his deathbed, and he made a deal. And what happened is, like, seven demons entered in his body, and they were there, and he was carrying them the whole time. And the only time he knew that these demons were inside of him is he got married. Okay, so this whole time these demons have been with him, and they basically were talking through him, you know, in his sleep. But then he got married, and one night his wife thought she was hearing snoring, but what she was hearing were these demons talking out of him in his sleep. And so, we had this woman come in and hypnotize him and send him back, and she had to go through the process of having him identify each demon and having each demon leave. She had to pluck it out one by one through acts of hypnosis. And that was really amazing to listen to, because this demon, I mean, I don't know if you've heard, like, Bob Larson, or if you've heard any of these other people when they cast demons out. The demons, the demons are just terrifying. They sound terrifying. And,
who was that? Oh, I'm sorry. I mean, who was that father that, Art Bell? I know we're all fans.
Malachi Martin?
Yeah. Didn't he do like an exorcism on Coast to Coast, or was it?
I don't know if he did one on Coast to Coast, but you know, I know that you know, there have been many. We play a call. There was a call that was to Bob Larson. Do you know who Bob Larson is?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, it was a famous call called the Keeper Call. I don't know if you ever heard of this. But it's a well-known call.
I probably have.
Well, what had happened is Bob Larson appeared on Ground Zero, and he told us about something that happened where he was on the phone with a caller. So he does his own talk show. He was on the phone with a caller, and this caller apparently it was very, I guess, really distraught and sad, and she didn't know, you know, what to do. And so she called him, and Bob was talking to her, and all of a sudden this demon came out called the Keeper. In fact, I'll tell you what, I'm going to play in the next break, out of the next break. You stay with us, we'll play it, okay? All right, take care.
Thank you, Sven.
Thank you
very much, Clyde, and I hope you have a great Halloween.
You too. Yeah, Bob Larson, the keeper call. We'll play it coming up on Ground Zero. We have enough time. I think we do. It's about a 4-minute call. I think we should be able to play it. We'll be back with more Ground Zero. Don't go away.
FM News 101 KXL.
On the phone with me is Ronnie. You ever get thetea.com? Well, guess what? I got the tea. It made me feel better. I'm still feeling the effects from it because it certainly has remarkable qualities that it helps you out feeling better. You know, Ronnie, I've gotten a lot of emails from people saying, I got the tea. It's working for me. Do you get a lot of email response about the tea?
I get a ton of emails. In fact, I got somebody the other day that had a problem with their stomach. They've got on my tea for a couple months, and they're feeling way better, and they said, thank you, thank you, thank you. So I get a lot of them, and that's exciting, you know, to be ahead of a company that you can sleep at night.
What kind of benefits do you get from the tea? I know one of the great benefits is feeling lighter, feeling more energetic because you're detoxing your body, are you not?
Absolutely, but here's a real kicker. In the world of GMOs, which is basically genetically modified organisms, these get into your system, and it's hard to get them out. So the tea helps with that because these GMOs actually change your DNA and your RNA. So it's really good to get cleansed.
So it's important to detox your body because it does help your DNA and your RNA.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because we're being attacked by intruders, and we have to just realize that at all times.
So is this something we do once in a while? I mean, you just get the tea and that's it, or do you do it all the time?
I do it every day, 365. You can do it, you know, but it's kind of like a car. You know, if you wash your car every day, you're going to be looking good. But if you wash your car once every 6 months, it's going to suck.
How long has your company been around, Ronnie?
11 years. We're almost 12 years old. So we're not some kind of fad that's going to come and go. We've been here a long time, and we're going to stay.
They always call it the tea that makes you go, and it makes you feel better, too. Ronnie, we just go to getthetea.com to get the tea. Am I correct?
GetTheTea.com, and we've got even specials on the front page. Just scroll down, and you'll see them. They change every month, and that way you can save some money and get healthy.
GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Thanks, Ronnie.
Thank you.
More with Clyde Lewis on FM News 101.
One of the most compelling things that we've ever had on the show is Bob Larson talking about the Keeper. The Keeper was a demon that took over a girl during one of his phone calls. Here he is describing it, and you get to hear the demon speaking through the girl. This is the Keeper on Ground Zero.
Yes, now here is what happened on the air yesterday at the tail end. You heard part of it a little bit ago. Here's the rest of it.
And they said I was bonding with the universe. And that animal would give me strength to carry out the things that I would need to know when I became of age. And then after it happened, they killed the animal and they poured its blood all over me. And then I just sat there and I kept asking why, and they would never tell me why. They said that the blood covers and protects. That's all they would tell me.
Well, Rebecca, that is a perversion of scriptural truth, because it is the blood of Christ that covers and protects us and forgives us from all sin.
You can help me.
The first thing we can do is pray for you.
Does it hurt?
It doesn't hurt.
Don't try to cut myself.
You do not have to cut yourself. In the name of our Father in heaven and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, we just pray right now for the peace and comfort of God to come upon Rebecca. We bind all the powers of darkness, and I place the blood of Christ on Rebecca right now. You are bound. And Rebecca is being loosed. Rebecca is being loosed by the power of Jesus Christ. Don't worry, Rebecca. God is in control. Don't you worry. Who are you? Who are you? The Keeper? You are not the Keeper.
The Guardian.
You are not the Guardian.
Who am I?
You are subject to Jesus Christ. You who call yourself Keeper, is Jesus Christ Lord? To whom does she belong?
Right now, she belongs to my master.
Will not continue to belong to him.
We'll do everything we can to terminate her.
You can't terminate her.
I'll pray
Jesus.
You who call yourself the Keeper, speak to me. In the name of Christ, you speak to me.
What?
You let her go.
Why? Let her go. She belongs to me.
Not forever.
I was sent here to protect her, to guide her, and to lead her.
Jesus Christ came here to die for her.
She has not yet made that choice.
She will make that choice, and you know very well it's a miracle that she called. It's a miracle she called today, isn't it? Isn't it? Isn't it?
Someone out there was praying for her.
Well, that's your problem. How many more of you are there?
How many keepers?
How many more of your kind?
There are hundreds.
Well, the hold is being broken.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes, and you know very well it is being broken. God did not have her call me by an accident. God would not have thousands of people praying right now. And you know very well that your hold is being broken now.
We will have her on our Hallows Eve.
No, you will not have her on your Hallows Eve. You will not.
Ours.
No, she will not be yours forever. She will belong to Jesus Christ.
She, like David, will burn. She's the seed.
Who's David? The David we were talking to a moment ago?
There you have it, the Bob Larson call. It's the Keeper. He shared it with us on Ground Zero. Very terrifying call of a young girl named Rebecca who was possessed by a demon known only as the Keeper. We'll be back with more Ground Zero. 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. I'm Clyde Lewis. We'll be back.
I have
a request tonight.
Arm the studio.
When you hear this,
that is the introduction.
The loudspeaker spoke up and said,
"Please save me."
I'm Clyde Lewis, and this is Ground Zero. Tonight we're talking about the Ouija board, these witch boards or the communication boards. You know, before 1973, everybody saw the Ouija board as being very harmless. They said, well, it was just a lot of fun. It's a parlor game. In that year, The Exorcist was shown in theaters. It was supposedly based on a true story. And while it was based on a true story, the implication that a 12-year-old was possessed by a demon after playing with a Ouija board by herself changed how people saw the board. In fact, the effect was similar to what happened when Jaws was shown in theaters. People thought twice about swimming in strange waters. In fact, some people wouldn't even shower. So if you want to push the same analogy, using a Ouija board can be akin to swimming in a strange spiritual water, if you will. Before The Exorcist, most people saw the Ouija board as fun, it's a bit hokey, you know, used at, you know, slumber parties, and that kind of thing. But after the Exorcist made it in theaters, horror stories and hysteria about the boards found their way into campfire stories. Angry clergy demanded the Ouija boards be banned. Well, there probably have been stories of people who, in a bout of hysteria, thought they were possessed, and with plenty staged, YouTube videos showing users of boards being staged, either bleeding or having their eyes go black or whatever. There are now plenty of stories about bad experiences with Ouija boards. The bottom line is that those that have had bad experiences probably are unaware of what or the reason why they had the bad experiences. Because after The Exorcist, there were other movies that showed the board being responsible for the devil ripping apart co-eds, and there's even a scene in the Tales from the Crypt, the old Tales from the Crypt, where Peter Cushing plays an old man that receives a warning from the Ouija board that trouble is coming. It's a great scene. I don't know if you've seen the old Tales from the Crypt, the one with Peter Cushing, but the Ouija board he uses is quite rudimentary, and of course he's a blind man, and so he's getting the information. I think he's blind. I think I remember him being blind, or very bad eyesight, for sure. So the Ouija board now has been denounced by religious groups. They say it's Satan's preferred method of communication. In 2001, Alamogordo, New Mexico, it was being burned on bonfires along with copies of Harry Potter and Disney's Snow White. Christian religious groups still remain wary of Ouija boards. They say scriptures denounce communication with spirits through mediums. Catholic.com calls the Ouija board far from harmless. And as recently as 2011, the 700 Club, Pat Robertson, host of the 700 Club, declared that demons can reach us through the board. Even paranormal researchers cannot agree on whether or not the board is dangerous or that helps you during ghost investigations. Scientists will tell you that Ouija boards are not powered by spirits or even demons. They will tell you that all of the communication happens through those who are using it. There are some people that claim that the board is basically there for the medium to channel what is inside their unconscious mind, and what is being experienced is what is traveling in the stream of consciousness where the dreams are made. Researchers at the University of British Columbia's Visual Cognition Lab think the board may be a good way to examine how the mind processes information on various levels. The idea that the mind has multiple levels of information processing is by no means a new idea, although exactly what to call those levels remains up for debate. Is it consciousness, unconsciousness, subconscious, precautious? I mean, zombie mind, that's the term. I mean, what? You let the zombie mind or the trance take over, the hands do the rest, the muscular tension. You put your hands on the planchette, and you just let them relax, and the board does the work through these unconscious idiomotor responses. It's like the brain on autopilot. When it's left to its own trance, it can reveal many things that may or may not be seen as divination. But however you see it, whether it's a gateway to hell or an oracle to speak with the dead or a way to look into the unconscious mind, the Ouija board has been able to survive even through years of being laughed at and feared. I mean, it's so controversial. On one hand, you say, well, the board is fake. Others say, well, you're getting just simple responses from certain entities, and that you're opening yourself up to the influence of numerous spirits, both good and evil. Another controversy, less commonly discussed, is whether or not people know how to use a Ouija board, whether or not people are projecting responses, or whether or not the responses mean anything, whether or not the board is, I say the board is inert. I say, it goes through you. It all goes through you. The human mind is capable of channeling anything. And so when the scientific explanations say that it's idiomotor responses, that can bring things out of the unconscious even without the use of party favors, even without the use of an oracle, even without the use of a Ouija board. Here's how the idiomotor works, okay? The planchette on the board seems to drag our hands along as it selects letters that spell out the words, but it happens that this muscular action inside the body doesn't always arise out of deliberate will or volition. It's just, you allow the trance to move the hand, or the hand moves to the trance. And same thing happens with dowsing sticks or divining rods. They also appear to move strangely on their own. But what happens is that what it does is it amplifies the muscle movements. And so the sticks or the divining rods or even the pendulums respond to subtle unacknowledged suggestions that the muscles give from the brain. So the same can be said for the Ouija board. There's a subtle suggestion coming from the brain to the board. How we interpret that suggestion, whether to be an act of spirit or that anyone has any telepathic powers, I mean, it's hard to agree on this. But the movement of the planchette is a real mystery and how it works. It's such a great idea because it works. It seems like it's working on its own. But the truth is that, maybe we're more in control of the Ouija board than we'd realize. And this doesn't diminish the mysterious nature of it, but it can explain that the human mind, how the human mind acts and what it does and how it can open up to chaotic or evil influences, maybe even helpful influences, intuition telling the body itself through a board, through a tool. It's like you can't listen to a record unless it's on a record player. You can't listen to an MP3 unless it's played through a computer. You can't channel something unless you have it go through the body into a board that has numbers and symbols on it. I mean, the human whose hands are on the planchette is the transmitter. And it picks up through the unconscious mind the subtle nuances of what can be conjured in dream time, what's coming from the brain. I mean, we're selecting the letters on the board. Yeah, we have to see the letters to get the message out. But the brain is the open conduit, and you don't need a board to conjure a message from beyond. In fact, you can close your eyes and get the message at the same time. You don't need the board. I mean, okay, the Ouija board is telling you, or telling those who are on the board, the story that we want to tell ourselves. You understand what I'm saying? In other words, it spells out what can be said to be an open secret. The secrets are within everybody, but the open secret is open because you've opened yourself up to the secret. I mean, who's going to chastise a spirit for revealing a secret during a seance? No one. You're going to reveal it through a spirit? Some secret you don't know anybody about, like somebody has a crush on somebody or somebody is doing something horrible to another person? Or that it's an open secret that you didn't get along with your father, and so your father comes through the board, and the father says, oh, you didn't get along with me, and I love you. And see, the Ouija board is telling us the story we tend to tell ourselves. The Ouija board is a valuable tool. Not because it's an oracle to talk to the dead. No, it's a valuable tool because it shows us what the mind is capable of. And that the mind can manifest and conjure aloof spiritual energy and commit it to an inanimate object with letters and numbers on it. We go back to the panpsychism argument. Is there spiritual energy in the board? I mean, look, the board is not made in a monastery staffed with demons and witches. They don't do that. It's just a board. It prints out letters, numbers, puts a planchette in a board, sends it off to Milton Bradley or Parker Brothers or whomever. And then it's right there for slumber parties for kids. And so when you look at the power of what the power is, it comes from a combination of psychology, parapsychology, and the human need to find meaning in what are called deeper core affectations. So, hey, if somebody gets possessed or somebody feels like they're possessed, they were already open for it before they even touched the board. They were going in breaking all the rules before they even touched the board. Now, those who have interest in finding out the truth or finding out what's inside of them, inside their unconscious mind, yeah, they're going to get a nice experience. If you open up to all that's good will come through. Nothing bad will happen. If you open up to bad things or if you just go in saying, okay, I'm going to give it a shot, it's like putting a gun to your head. If you pull the trigger and it harms you, you get burned, either you learn not to do it again the same way or you learn that you have to have respect for the archetypes that exist in your subconscious, the archetypes that exist in your unconscious mind. The Ouija board is basically a Jungian tool, in my opinion. It brings out the best, and it brings out the worst in everybody. I don't know if it's contacting the dead, but it's certainly contacting something. You have to think it could be contacting some spiritual realm, or maybe even the realm of the devil. You never know. You never really know. 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. Get to your phone calls coming up on Ground Zero. 888-673-3700. You had experience with a Ouija board, good or bad? I want to hear it because, it's Halloween. Time to talk. We'll be back.
with Clyde Lewis and Ground Zero on FM News 101.
By the way, I'll be appearing on Around the House with Eric G tomorrow. Show's on at noon, and we're going to be talking about haunted houses, and we're going to talk about how to tell if your house is haunted, so that tomorrow we'll be on that show. And then after that, we have the Halloween party, Ground Zero Halloween party at the Paradise, and that's going to be a lot of fun, too. Come on out. Everybody's going to be dressing up in costumes. It'll be a great time for everybody to be karaoke. Some special guests hopefully will show up. And, you know, just a whole lot of fun. It's going to be one of those nice get-togethers. It'll be tomorrow from 7 to 10 at the Paradise Bar, 12423 Northeast Gleason. That's 12423 Northeast Gleason. 12423 Northeast Gleason. Love to see you there. It'll be a great Halloween party for everybody to come out and have fun. Let's go to Chris in Washington. Hi, Chris. You're on Ground Zero.
Hey, Clive.
Hey, how's it going, man?
So, I grew up in Craig, Colorado, right? And I went to this hobby shop. And I'm like, I'm looking for Ouija boards. Like, I haven't sold Ouija boards in years.
Mm-hmm.
I knocked over this plain thing, and guess what was there? It was a Ouija board covered in dust. Mm-hmm. So, I bought it. I took it home. And my best friend, Brian, we played on a Ouija board. And it got really weird and all that weird stuff. And, one day I'm like, dude, I'm done. So we threw it in the fireplace. You know how it has a yes, it has a no, and it has all the letters, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we threw it in the fireplace, and everything burned. And next thing you know, it all burned down to the letters in the alphabet. And you know, my buddy knocked me over. He pushed me over because the last letters to burn on that whole board was the N and the O. And he said he didn't want the board to see who burned the board. So it's pretty twisted.
So you know, it burned down to the word no, or did it burn down to the N and the O?
The N and the O in the alphabet. Not the yes or the no, but it was down in the alphabet. It burned the whole board except for the N in the alphabet where it said N and O.
And so your brother pushed you over. Now, why did he push you over?
Because he didn't want the board to see who was burning the board.
And you were the one that burned the board.
Yeah, he didn't want the demons to see who was burning the board.
I just think it's bizarre that it would leave behind the N and the O. The only thing left is the N and the O.
Well, it was in the alphabet. Not the yes or the no, but it was the N and O. That was the last thing to burn on the board was the N and the O.
And so you had this piece of board singed in the fireplace that said N and O on it, like, no, don't burn me, no.
Yeah, it was the whole board burned, the yes, the no, the alphabet, but when it came down to the final point in the alphabet, the N and the O.
Yeah, go ahead.
But the N and the O were the last things to darken out, and that's when he knocked me over. He goes, I go, what'd you do? And he goes, I didn't want the demons to see who was burning the board.
So did you save that little piece? I would have saved it and framed it and said, this is what happened to me. What, did you save the piece?
No, I was 18.
Well, what did you do? I would have put a hole in it, would have used it as a keychain. I would have thought that'd be cool. They'd say, what's that? Say, well, there's a story behind that. I burned this Ouija board and it burned down to just the N and the O. And then I would say, isn't that creepy? And then you just use it as a, you know, kind of a conversation starter. I mean, come on. I mean, how many times can you say that I was playing with a Ouija board, it freaked me out, we threw it in the fireplace, we wake up the next day and all we see is an N and an O sitting there in the fireplace looking up at us. My brother threw me to the ground because he didn't want the board to see me because he thought the board had eyes that could basically see me and the demons would get me. I mean, did you have any bad experiences after that? I mean, did you feel like the demons were plaguing you?
Yeah, his name is Taz.
Huh?
It was his name is Taz.
The demon was named Taz.
Yeah. And it wasn't a normal fire. It was like a orange and yellow and burning like when you burn plastic type of fire. It wasn't a normal fire. It was like dark purple and yellow fire. On the N and O, you know, and his name was Taz.
Taz. Is that T-A-S or T-A-Z?
TSD. I guess he's from the third circle plane of hell or something. I don't.
I'll have to look him up. I don't remember Taz, but I'm sure that there's a Taz in there somewhere, right?
So anyway, I just wanted to share my thing with you.
All right. Well, I appreciate it. I appreciate you calling in. Take care.
Yeah.
Bye bye bye. There's actually there's a Tez. I remember Tez. Don't know exactly where Tez comes from, but Tez is actually it's Aztec, I think. Tez is an Aztec demon, and it's supposed to be the demon of smoke, something like that. Tez is the demon of smoke. It's an Aztec demon. Interesting, isn't it? Okay, well, that's the only Tez I know in demonology. Some old ancient Aztec Mayan thing, something. 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. Listening to your experiences with Ouija board tonight on Ground Zero. Closing up the third hour, the last hour, actually, of the show with that. So give us a call, 888-673-3700. We'll be back.
And Ground Zero on FM News 101.
As friends we've gathered, hearts are true. Spirits near, we call to you.
Hey, look what I found. What does Ouija mean?
Why, I haven't seen one of these for years. It's a Ouija board. See? Oui. French for yes. Ja. German for yes.
How do you play it?
Where'd you find it?
Over there.
There's a gadget goes with it, Buck. I think they call it a planchette.
It's just a name, isn't it?
The origin of the Ouija board is just as mysterious as the board itself, as no one really knows exactly.
This one's just round. Well, my brother's a church minister.
There is no death. What seems so is transition. This life of mortal breath is but a suburb of the life Venetian, whose portal we call death.
An ancient device for communicating with those who have left this mortal sphere for that big movie lot in the sky. And tonight we're going to use it to try to get in touch with some of the long gone stars of Fractured Flicker.
It must be very perfect. Opening a doorway to the beyond can sometimes let things through that we just might not want to deal with.
Very. Into our circle. If that's you, blow out the
candles. Who am I gonna marry? Satan?
Satan?
What the hell are you talking about? How?
Well, I found this old talking board in the basement.
Those things don't work.
Yes, they do. Didn't you see the movie?
The movie Ouija? No.
Okay, guys, which one of you is moving it?
Which one of you is moving it?
I'm Clyde Lewis. You are listening to Ground Zero. It's Halloween weekend. Time for parties, right? Ground Zero is no exception. We're having our party at the... having our party at the Paradise. Happening tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. Costumes and a lot of fun. We wanted to see you there at the party because, of course, it's a time to get together with Ground Zero friends and hang out and You know, I may do a little bit of speaking, talk a little bit about some scary stuff. Who knows? And maybe some guests will show up. We kind of decided we wanted to just have a party. We're just having a casual party, get along, have fun, sing some karaoke songs and you know, dress up. And I think there's a contest for your costume, so dress up really good, look good for the costume party. It's tomorrow at 7 p.m. I'll be there at 7, goes until wee hours, 1 or 2 in the morning, depending on how long you want to stay to karaoke. So the Paradise Bar, 12423 Northeast Gleason, 12423 Northeast Gleason. By the way, tomorrow I'll be on Around the House with Eric G. I'll be on about noon, so you want to check that out right here at KXL. You can listen on listentogroundzero.com or KXL.com. You'll be able to check me out on that show. Robert, thank you for your patience. We got a lot of calls tonight. Welcome to Ground Zero.
Hey, how you doing, Clyde? Hey,
good.
Life was great till 88, and after my brother got electrocuted, everything's been downhill from there.
Oh, my God. I'm sorry to hear that, man.
This Stephen King whack job stuff.
Yeah.
A friend of mine shot his wife and kid in 06. My wife moved back to Southern California, Newport Beach, where I met her and died. I had to explain to my 12-year-old daughter why her mom isn't around anymore. And as of 2016, I'm the only one left. Out of my, you know, the core people you have, you know, the ones that create your childhood memories.
Mm-hmm. Hey, well, you know, with me, I'll tell you this. I had a number of guys. We're all big Star Wars fans, right? And so we'd seen, you know, the three Star Wars everybody's familiar with at our age. You know, the first one, New Hope, Empire Strikes Back, Return of the Jedi, all three of those films. And after they were over, we all looked at each other and said, hey, you know what? I'm sure they're going to make the prequels. And when they make the prequels, we need to all get together and see the first prequel.
Yeah.
And I still was living in Utah at the time. All of the buddies of mine that were Star Wars fanatics, all dead. I was the only surviving one.
Oh. Wow.
And so I had to go to the new one alone. And wow. And it just really blew me away because we were all big Star Wars fans. I said, hey, when they get around to making it, you know. That's the thing, so I don't know.
What brings me to call you is I decided to do something good to kind of, you know, had a lot of tragedy in my life, so I turned to animal rescue, and I rescue cats mainly because they're the ones that get the short end of the stick. You know, dog wardens don't want anything to do with them. They're free-ranging animals.
Mm-hmm.
Well, cats are dying on me. They're disappearing left and right. I'm wondering if the Ouija board would give me the answers to what was going on with my life. I mean, this is just too much. I know we live in some crazy times. I'm listening to, you know, the commercials as I wait to you to take my call at the top of the hour, even up in Oregon, some of the stuff that I hear going on there sounds like a war zone out there.
Well, yeah, I mean, you can use a Ouija board to find out anything, really. I mean, you just have to, you know, but I would suggest you do it with someone else. You know, I would suggest that, you know, you have someone with you because of the fact that it's important to have someone with you at all times when you're doing that. And I mean, yeah. I know that Karen, before we went on the air, we had a discussion, and she didn't agree with me. She said, you can do it alone, but I don't think it's wise to do it alone. I don't think it's good to do it alone because, you know, you need to have someone there who can witness what's going on. You need to have someone there to keep everything, you know, pretty much on the level and on the up and up. And I think it's difficult to do that if you're on your own because, you know, you can get misinterpreted messages. I mean, all that stuff. I mean, that's something that you know, someone that something that I think you ought to do if you want to use a Ouija board for that.
Well, can you use a Ouija board to communicate with like animals? I mean, I know they can't read English, but the love and the connection and the bonding is still there. The emotion, you know.
Well, you know, it's interesting because when you for example, you're familiar with reverse speech, right?
Yeah.
Reverse speech is kind of like that. It's like that. What it is it's taking the consciousness, which would be, you know, whatever, if animals had consciousness, it would be the consciousness of the animal. And he's played like animals that have whimpered or have talked, and you can hear them speak in a language that you can understand, in a pattern you can understand. So I wouldn't doubt that there could be an animal spirit come through to you. I don't know if it'd name itself, but it certainly would, unless you named a pet that died, it would come through and it could talk with you, and you would know that it's there. I mean, people use animal guides all the time. Shaman use animal guides all the time.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't see why it wouldn't. I mean, I've never heard of anybody trying to contact an animal. But still, it'd be interesting if that could happen.
I just want to know what happened to him. Do I have a neighbor problem? Is it just bad luck? Yeah, I've been running for 30 years from this. Do these things follow you as you move? Or Is it regional or what is it? I don't know. I just can't explain it.
Hmm. Well, yeah, if I were you, I mean, like I said, I haven't heard that you can, but I wouldn't doubt it because people use elementals that are animals. They speak with animals. They're their animal guides. I don't know if they have names, but it's certainly something to think about. It's certainly something that I wouldn't rule out. Something that I think would be interesting to find out. Maybe you'd be the first to say, hey, I've contacted animals on the Ouija board. I've contacted animals through channeling. I felt my animal familiars around me, and I understand what they are. And, yeah, that'd be interesting. I'd give it a try. Give it a test. I would even, if I were you, I would have somebody do it with you so you could have a scribe. You could actually write down what's being said or what's being offered to you. That way there'll be no doubt that what was happening is happening. So there you go.
Yeah, okay.
All right.
Thanks for my take. Well,
great call. I didn't even thought about it. Thank you so much. That was a great call. We're going to take a break. 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. More calls coming up. We're going to be right back with more. Don't go away.
FM News 101 KXL. More with Clyde Lewis on FM News 101.
Let's go to Patty in Washington. Hi, Patty. You're on Ground Zero.
Hi, Clyde. I listen to you every night, but this subject, really, it's close to home. My mother started playing with the Ouija board, and she was betting on the horses in the World Series, and she was winning. But then a change came, and first of all, her face changed. It was just blank, and her eyes were really glassy. And then she started doing automatic writing. And she put the pen down and just started communicating with, she called it the thing.
Mm-hmm.
She became like an insane person. She was vicious. She tried to kill my father and I many times. My dad had to sleep upstairs with the dresser in front of the door. There was knife marks in the door. Jesus was ripped off the cross. The Bible was ripped up. She went to the church and lit a candle, and it exploded. Then a priest started coming over to the house all the time. I'd moved out. I couldn't take it. My dad finally moved out, too. The devil or the demons are very subtle. They destroyed our whole family. They destroyed everything. My father had worked all his life and had just graduated from law school, and their dreams were going to come true. They were shattered. It was just terrible, Clyde. It was unbelievable.
What finally happened to your mother?
It took her 10 years to try to get back to normal, and I went to this little hut where Mother Cabrini, who became a saint, had prayed, and I prayed there. And she slowly started to get back to normal. She never was quite the same. They gave her 25 shock treatments, but that didn't do anything. But she was living in this big house with a swimming pool all by herself, completely insane. Nobody came to see her. It was pathetic. But she did come out of it. That's good news, but it was a horror story.
Has she ever actually sat down?
I just thought I'd try to sum it up.
Sure. Has she actually tried to sit down and explain what was going through her mind, what was going through her body at the time, what may have been possessing her?
She'd want to tell me things, and I'd say, I don't want to know. She'd say, do you want to know what they're telling me now? And I'd go, no. One time she told me something about the... They had nets up in the sky, and they would catch the souls and keep them from going to heaven and things like that. That didn't make any sense. She'd scream all the time. She'd go in the bedroom and scream at them or out in the back, and she'd just scream and scream and scream. It was horrid.
It sounds terrifying.
Yeah, it was. And at the time, that movie, The Exorcist, was out, and it just about did me in.
But, because it was like opening up, it was opening things up to what had happened.
Yeah, it was too close.
Are you having a good life? Are you fine?
No, I have post-traumatic stress, and I've been going through a lot lately. She told me this thing is going to get into you, and I don't have time to tell you now, but I'm going through something horrendous right now, and I often wonder if that might be it. I mean, it's unbelievable what I'm going through. In fact, it's so unbelievable, nobody believes me. I'd like to talk to you about it sometime, though.
Sure.
I listen to you every night, and I love you very much. And I had to comment on this subject because I'm a first-time caller. But it's real. I've seen it. She would get stabbed somehow. Like, in her back, she got stabbed, and she called me in the middle of the night, and I'd have to go over, and she'd be stabbed all night. And her, she had deadlocks on the door, and they were ripped from the inside out. Just weird things happen all the time. When I was there, one time I almost stepped on a tarantula, and the next time it was a scorpion. You just, and the lights would go off and on by themselves, and the blender would turn on. It was just weird.
Well, Patty, thank you for your courage in telling this story. Yeah, thank you. Thank you for telling this story. It's important that it's heard. And yeah, I mean, sometime maybe you can, you know, call the office here and we can talk.
Okay, that would be wonderful. I'd appreciate that.
All right. Well, thank you, Patty, for calling.
Thank you, Clyde.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Let's go to Eric in Oregon. Hi, Eric. You're on Ground Zero.
Hi, Clyde. How are you?
Doing good.
Hey, I have this story. This was in 2001. A friend of mine and myself, we sat down with a Ouija board. Now, I had played with Ouija boards before, but nothing spectacular. But in this particular night, this Ouija board, the first thing it told me right away was to get the other person off the oracle, right? So I told her, well, just sit back there and take notes. And basically what this thing told me, it told me who he was. His name was Miller. It said that he was murdered in Yosemite National Park in 1981 due to money. He was killed by his best friend. He gave me his friend's Caltrans employee number. He gave me the Fresno County missing persons file case number and all kinds of verifiable things. But the striking one was, he told me his mother's phone number in San Antonio, Texas, and said her name is Marilyn, and told me to call her and let her know that he was murdered and not a missing person. And you know, so I'm amazed by how fast this oracle is moving. It's just answering questions like crazy. So the next day, I called that phone number and I asked for Marilyn, and she said, "This is Marilyn." And then I hung up and left it alone and never looked back on it again. But I'm here to tell people that, you know, I'm a person that I don't believe or disbelieve in anything, but there is something real about the Ouija board because, you know, I'm not going to fake myself out, you know.
Well, and especially when you're getting details on something that important. I mean, we did a seance with a Ouija board once. We had a woman by the name of Stella Robinson who came to us and told us that in the cemetery here in Oregon, it said that she's buried with her baby, and her baby is nowhere near her in the grave. And we thought that was interesting, and so we went to the grave of Stella Robinson, and we got the where it was located, and we notified the sexton, we notified the city, and we said, we have a feeling that we got from a ghost seance that this woman is not buried with her baby. And come to find out, she wasn't buried with her baby. It said on the tombstone she was. Her baby was born buried in a cemetery. It was like 30 miles away from where she was.
Oh, wow.
And so they actually moved the baby back to the grave, the cemetery where she was because of our investigation. It was just amazing. Yeah, some things happen like that. And that's why I don't badmouth Ouija boards, but I always say be very careful, be aware, and be safe. Eric, thank you for the call.
Thanks, Clyde.
Have a good night, everybody. We'll see you at the party and see you on Eric G's show tomorrow night. Tomorrow morning, actually, from noon. I think it goes noon till the afternoon, so we'll be there. And actually, I'll be at the party. We'll see y'all there dressed up in costume. It'll be a lot of fun. Good night, everybody. We'll see you on Monday.
FM News 101 KXL.